much like you, I'm sure, after a show, people hand me drugs, they hand me Adderall, they hand me weed, they hand me mushrooms.
It's the best.
I have pockets full of drugs after shows, and it's great. And I go fly, and I forget. I just put my shit through the ringer, and I don't even notice.
Oh, yeah. I scream at TSA agents knowing I have weed in my bag. And welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. My name is Ari Shaffir. Coming to you live from Quito, Ecuador, to tell you about this episode. It's episode number 420. And I think you know what that's going to mean. We're going to talk about weed. We're going to talk about marijuana. It's a celebration of all things pot. That's right. So I don't know if you know this, but 420, I saw the number coming. I was like, oh, episode 420, I got to do something weed-related. I got to do something. 420 first became associated with marijuana back in the 1920s, the early 1920s, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A group of 420 white nationalists march into a black town on April 20th. And they said, we're here to kill you. We're here to kill all of you. And the black people, like, they met up in their church, and they said, you know, in between song, they're very Baptist and very fun. They said, what are we going to do? And one of them was like, well, should we fight back? And they were like, nah, it's not so acceptable these days to fight with white people. So one of them was like, well, why don't we smoke them out? And everyone got quiet. Like, what do you mean? Like, let's give them our best shit. So that's what they did. They rolled blunts. They rolled the best blunts you could find in 1920, and they gave 420 of them out to all the KKK members. And those KKK members were like, this ain't going to stop us. But as they smoked, and you know what it did? It didn't change their mind. It made them forget what they were even doing there. And they went home. That's right. So from then on, 420 became a sign of peace and marijuana. So here's what I did today. I got a bunch of my friends, and I got them just to talk about weed. That's it. Why not? Oh, by the way, today's episode is brought to you by Tightpack. Tightpack, it's for when you want to smoke and you need to hold it somehow. They're available in these big cases. You can see this on YouTube if you're watching on youtube.com/Ari Shaffir. Or these small cases, tight pack. Not in there. But, you know, this is a single. So just roll a joint and it's fuck it. Nope. Gone. I thought I had one in there. Hey! I did! But today we're smoking a new joint. We're not going to do an old one. It's going to go back in there. I had one of these, by the way. Me and Renazisi. We're going to Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, for the first time. We're smoking out. So they have a single type pack. They have a double, which holds 2 to 3 joints, and they have this, which holds 5. This is your fucking festival shit right here. By the way, type pack is not paying me for this, but I will tell you, it's TICHGHTPAC. You can get them on Amazon, or you can get them at some dispensaries. They're great. So I was closing one. Let's say it's like this, and it's bright green, and we're smoking away from Yankee Stadium, and then some dude on a bike comes up, and he goes, hey, be careful, there's a cop up there around that parking structure. We're like, all right, let's have a couple more hits, then we'll stop. Smoked one, put it away, so it's like this. Oh, shit. These things also really fucking protect you when it's cold or rainy. When you're done, you just put the weed in there, and the lack of oxygen makes it go out. I closed it. Like this, barely. As soon as I closed it, a cop was on me on a bike. It was like this. It was like, so I couldn't even put it away. I was like that. And he just goes, where is it? And I go, what? He goes, where is it? I'm like, where's what? He goes, the weed. I smell it. And I'm fucking holding this shit like this, bright green. And he goes, I smell it. I go, it's gone. And he goes, man, you got lucky. And he fucking biked away. Renazisi was over there calling, well, he said he was calling 911. And it took on more meaning later. But yeah, I was like, and then I was like, whoa, almost got away with that. I love smoking at baseball games. I went to see a Red Sox Yankee game once, went to Red Sox Stadium. They have a smoking section. went to the very edge of it, got there like an hour before, and just go, just fucking puffed one down as hard as I could. I mean, I smoked an entire joint in like 60 seconds. I got fucked up. All sorts of things to do on marijuana. All sorts. See movies. Go to games. Watch UFC on edibles. So here's what I did. I got a bunch of my friends. In no order. Dan Soder, Tony Hinchcliffe, Adrian Appalucci, Mark Normand, Sal Volcano, Steve Renazzisi I got. Just to come in and tell your favorite memory. Sometimes they involve me. Sometimes they didn't. And then a couple of them got fucked up. I called Kurt Metzger, but he's such a fucking... He was like, oh, sorry, Ari. I recorded all of it on my end, but then I deleted it and emptied my trash. What a fucking fun conversation, too. I mean, I was stoned as fuck in Otavalo, in this mountain. It would have looked fucking cool. And Kurt's breaking down how Gavin McGinnis is like the progenitor to Lena Dunham and how it's a direct lineage that way. And it was so fascinating on weed. It was just great pot talk that I would have just ended with. 30, 40 minutes of just the most interesting weed-related talk. But it's gone. Thanks, Kurt. He's still a good guy. I don't know. And then I was going to do two more up there in the mountains with Diaz, with Joey Diaz, and with Duncan Trussell. But my internet was so fucked. It was so fucked. Let's smoke a new joint for this fucking 420. It was so fucked I couldn't do it. So Duncan was kind enough to send me a video talking about one of his earliest weed memories. So that'll be in here. I hope you guys listen to this at 420. Or I hope you listen starting at 3, and right at 420 you light up. So it's a fun celebration, you guys. It's all things weed. I remember when I first started smoking. I mean, I first started smoking was like, I guess, college a couple times. But then when I got to the Comedy Store, dude, Joe Rogan would come with weed. And it was just like, all I had in college was Kind Bud and Schwag. That was it for white people. Kind Bud and Schwag. And Rogan would come with this weed that wealth and lack of caring could provide. And he would smoke me up. And I remember being, before I'd get high for 3-4 hours, this was 5-6 hours later, I'm still so high, I'm like, I can't drive home. And I was just sitting there in the front patio just going like, get out of me. Get out of me. And it wouldn't. I started referring to Joe Rogan as El Diablo. Because he peer pressured me into doing it. I mean, you know, I'm a grown up. Can't be peer pressured that much. But it was fucking nuts. And when I really got into weed, I was with Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo. And they were stopping by one of Eddie's students. He's a jiu-jitsu master. And we were stopping by one of his students owning a dispensary. And what they did is, oh, dude, the dispensaries do this thing where you just go get your fucking free weed. If you get your license, you can just walk around to different dispensaries in L.A. It's probably too corporate now. And just get your weed. So you get it every time. Like, I'm new here. Like, here's a free gram. Or here's a free pipe. Or both. What a fucking fun time. So we went to this dispensary. This guy named Atari ran. Palestinian. Fuck. And he goes... So while we were there, it's Joe Rogan, this fucking celebrity from Fear Factor, Eddie Bravo, his instructor, and then me, just some guy. And Atari goes, hey, get these two guys a care package, which means a bunch of weed. I had a little bit. I remember buying some from Rick Inger once, and I still had it a year later, a gram. I still had leftovers a year later. It's raining. But anyway, so the guy behind the counter who's getting the care packages ready, he goes, should I get one for that guy too? To me? And this was a split-second decision that changed my life. Atari looks at me and goes, yeah, sure. So for the first time, I had about 7 different grams on me in my apartment. And I could just smoke. I could just smoke different things whenever I wanted. And that's what I did. I just smoked different things whenever I wanted. And I got way into it. The Maui Wowie is the first time I was like, oh, that shit's great. That gets me creative. Other shit gave me the munchies. By the way, today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank is brought to you by Ecuadorian Chocolate. Ecuadorian chocolate, everybody. It's underrated, but it's among the best in the world. Fuck, that's good. Oh, that pineapple one's good. Oh. Maracuya and menta. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the episode. We're going to go all the way around. We got tons of weed-related sponsors today. And if you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt as the podcast goes. It's a new thing where I'm not going to take breaks all the time in the middle of my intro. Instead, I'll just drop them in here or there. So try to roll with them as best you can. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the fucking episode. It's a celebration of all things weed. I would love if you, in your comments, would leave favorite weed stories for yourself. Maybe the first time you got too high, the first time somebody fucking dosed you with too strong a weed. Red Band used to do that to me all the time. Couldn't even drive home. I'd fall asleep in the car on the way home at a red light. Safety first. But still fall asleep in the car. So leave your best weed stories in the comment section of YouTube. And on April 20th, I'll do a Patreon and I'll read some of the best comments you guys leave in honor of marijuana on the April 20th Patreon. Patreon.com/Ari Shaffir. I'm doing good stuff over there. It's my wandering Jew plant that I picked in the Amazon and I'm going to try to get home. It's been tough. So ladies and gentlemen, could you believe it? 420 fucking episodes. Also, definitely sign up for my Patreon. Patreon.com/Ari Shaffir. Let's see if I can French inhale. In the outro, we'll see if I can French inhale. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 420. Fuck. A pot of weed with Sal Volcano, not Kurt Metzger. Yes, Mark Normand. Yes, Dan Soder. Yes, Tony Hinchcliffe. Yes, Adrian Appalucci. Steve Renazzisi, Sal Volcano, Duncan, Norman, Adrian, Tony, Soda. I don't know. Could have gotten more if I was home. It's going to be fucking great. Let's start the episode. Great people don't know what you're about. They put you down and shut you out. You gave to me a new. I'm just going to listen to you and not have video. Is that okay?
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, we're actually smoking four. Okay, I've already done three of these and I haven't smoked at all. I'm in a parking lot of an Aki fucking supermarket in Ecuador. And so I'm going to fucking get a J out. We're going to do this fucking the right way, Dan.
Do it the goddamn we're right way. The way our ancestors right did it, Ari.
Should have put on one of these fucking ancestral masks. So if they call me, they'd be like cultural appropriation. They can't touch me.
Yeah, they'd be like, you're one of us. Sorry, we thought a big white guy was smoking.
One of us. We've never seen one of us 6'3" before. Yeah. We've only ever gone to 5'9".
Oh, my God. You must be recruited by the national basketball team if you're this tall.
Dude, every time I try to like blend in here, they're like, it's not happening, dude. You're bald. None of us are bald. You're fucking way high.
Dude, that was always when I got really into reading about Native American history. The thing I found the most fascinating was that Native Americans don't have the gene for baldness. So the first time they saw male baldness was when the white man came west.
And what?
Yeah, they just call them bird people. They call white guys bird men.
Fucking dicks.
I know. What fucking God. That's why we're on your dicks. Land. You
that's right. That's right.
One
that's
cloth right. Wearing cocky assholes.
And I'd say you won on that transition. All you get smallpox.
But think about if you really think about it, the most we fucked them was by raping their women and giving them the bald gene.
Yeah, that's barely like, anything,
dude. We and really did it.
That's nothing.
We raped in high blood pressure. You're like, oh god. Are you there,
Dan? Yeah, I'm here. When did you start?
Are you there, Vaughn? I'm here. It's me, Chelsea.
Did you read that?
Sorry,
I just read it last week and I beat off to it.
Oh, I was thinking, are you there, God? It's me. What's the Judy Blume one?
Yeah, are you there, God? It's me, Helen? I don't know. Are you there?
Margaret?
Margaret, maybe. That's
Horn Dog?
Horn Dog. It's me there. It's Blood Puss. Are you there, God? It's me. It's me, Blood Puss.
Anthrax Skin. Hey, I know you're a tight schedule, but anyway, you also have a tight dick. None of that has anything to do with this. Dan, how great is it to smoke weed and go see a movie?
Oh, my God. It is. It goes in stages because you do it when you first start smoking weed for pure enjoyment. And then it gets to the point where the weed rattles you. Everyone goes through like a once every 4 to 8 years getting super rattled mentally by weed. And a lot of people, that bucks them. So when you meet friends that are like, I don't smoke weed anymore because I freaked out, you're like, yeah, I worked through it like an adult. I remember being at the movies and being like, when Snatch came out in the theaters, was the Guy Ritchie movie, was when I first started smoking a lot of weed. I was like 15 or 16.
That's when it was.
Yeah, I was 15. Yeah, I was 14 when I think I first started smoking weed when I was 14, and then 15 was when I started getting like high all the time.
That's crazy. You had access to weed at that age.
I don't think it was. I had access to weed at like 12. Was it not around you? Was it not in your middle school at all?
In my Orthodox Jewish middle school? No.
Yeah, no.
Weed was not that readily available. Hard drug to me.
I was going to some public school where every kid had a lighter.
What were you saying about getting rattled? That's an interesting thing about weed rattling you.
Well, when you start smoking weed, it's very enjoyable, but then eventually you have to pay the tax, which is a mental freak out, and you have to get rattled.
Yeah.
And it's just about, I've learned with all drugs, it's how do you return back to base camp? It's like with weed, you get anxiety, you get kind of panicky, and you can really freak out, and it can fuck you up. It could fuck you up. It's like an injury in football. It can break you where you can't use your leg again, but then you can also break your leg where you're fine next season. So I've learned, you know, in the fucking 22 years I've been smoking weed, that you just kind of got to just shut it down, mellow out, and it will end.
Sometimes you got to take like a week off, like a full week off, or slow down. You're like, hey, this is getting out of control. Let me fucking chill for a minute.
My biggest freak out ever on weed happened out of nowhere and fucking ear-holed me. I was at the University of Arizona. I was fucking dead broke, and my roommate sold weed. So that would be the weed that I would smoke. And he ended up getting, like, this was the year that he started selling weight, and it was good weed. It was like, you know, as we said in the early 2000s, chronic. It was chronic nugs. We're just doing all the old thing. We didn't know what an indica or sativa was. It was just like, it's got red hairs, and you're like, what?
Better swag. Yeah. Those are the only choices.
Dude, I used to have fucking pancake swag from this one of the Mexican DJs at the radio station I worked at would bring over these bushels of fucking swag weed and just give me pounds of it for free. And it smelled like cologne, and it would get
and
you.
It's free too.
So free. And I'd smoke these big joints that would get me very, very high, and then very, very sleepy. So it was like,
that's a good t-shirt. I don't prefer swag, but I'll take it if that's all you got.
Dude, I'll pick seeds and sticks out. It's actually quite therapeutic to do that.
Yeah.
But
it's like a bonsai garden of weed.
I got done with classes and I was off work for the day, and so I was like, oh, me and my buddy Mike were gonna do gravity bong hits, and because, you know, that's the most, the last time I was on your podcast,
Mike.
Yeah, no, it was Jersey Mike, actually. We all had friends like that. And I swear to God, his name was Jersey Mike. This was before the Subs place. So last time I was on your podcast, or one of the last times I was on your podcast, I was talking about how I used to do knife hits.
Knife hits in Alaska. I was just going over that.
Yeah, and I would take knife hits. Well, we didn't, you know, knife hits outside of Alaska is a very methamphetamine feel. So we were doing gravity bong hits.
Like, oh, you guys not all into?
No, you guys, you're heating up knives, and you're like, thumbs down? Is this a thumbs down?
You guys smoke, and they look up like, what the fuck are you doing?
Dude, are you doing hard? Are you turning weed into hard drugs? But me and Jersey Mike were like, I think it was Mike. We're like, well, let's just do gravity bong hits. So we made a gravity bong out of a 2 liter of soda. You know, we made the cap with the hole, then you fill it up with water, and then you let the water drain out, and it pulls the smoke, and then you fucking huff it in. So we did, I want to say, 3 each. And he was like,
yeah, that's too much. What is a variable offense?
3 is so much. 3 is so much, but we were like 20. I was like 20 years old, and I was just like, I don't give a fuck. Fuck this. Let's get high as shit. We're in college, and I don't have work or school till tomorrow. And Mike left. Mike had to do something. He was a small-time weed dealer, so he probably had to go sell a fucking gram or a half an eighth to a broke college student. So I was sitting in my apartment and I smoked a cigarette out on my balcony. And while I was smoking, I was like, do I have one of those pricklies? You know, like when you're in the desert, those little prickles, like little round, I forget, I don't know what their actual names are.
Oh, yeah, the little burrs. Burr,
yeah, 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 a little burr, like a little tiny burr, a little Bill Burr. What are you doing so high down? And it was a, I felt like there was a burr in my chest, like right in the middle of my chest. And I was like, oh, that's weird. It feels like it's stinging me. And then I was like, oh, it's not. I changed my shirt. I was like, this is weird. I don't know. And then, my left arm went numb. And I was like,
oh my God, what?
Now this is 2003. I maybe had a computer for 2 years at this time. Internet's still brand new to me. So yeah. I'm like, oh, I'll go to WebMD. Now everyone knows. They're like, don't go to WebMD. It's just going to tell you.
WebMD always leads to cancer. Yeah.
Cancer or you're dead. You're the walking dead. And so I typed in chest pain, left arm numb.
Oh, that's Keith Robinson.
yeah. I immediately, WebMD was like, you're having a heart attack. Go to the emergency room. And I did.
Because I had
health insurance because I was still a college student under my mom. My mom's like health insurance covered me. And I called my drug dealer roommate, Amir. And I was like, Amir, I think I'm having a heart attack. And he was that Long Island Guido. And he's like, yo, you having a heart attack? And I was like, I think, I don't know. And he's like, yeah, you should go to the hospital. And I was like, I should. And I did. And I went to, by the way, this is 2003 Tucson, Arizona, where methamphetamines are like Hulkamania. It's running wild. Like everyone is doing fucking, like there was a stoplight by the radio station I worked at that I wouldn't stop at because there was like a little village of homeless people that lived in the runoff. And I would see them sometimes come out of the runoff and come to the street. And it's like, dude, leaving the radio station at 2 a.m. I'm not letting some meth head fucking rip into my Dodge Stratus.
So, and then you stop there. They're like, that's a sign. We should be.
That's a sign. So I would just roll up to the light. And if there was no one around, I'd be like, fuck you. I'm going home. So I walk into the emergency room and it's packed. It's like University Medical Center. It's like a fucking major hospital. And I walk in and I go to the front and they're like, you all right? And I'm like, I'm grabbing my arm. I'm like, I think I'm having a heart attack. And they're like, you're having a heart attack? And they grab me. They're like, okay, you know, come with us. And they take me in and they do like, they're like taking my vitals and they're asking me, they're like, what are your symptoms? I'm like, my left arm's numb. I'm having chest pain. And they're like, okay. And then
for sure. You're right. You're having a heart attack for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And then I like tell her, I'm like, by the way, I'm really high. I like said that to her. I just remember saying that, like, I'm going to come clean with you. I am really, really high. And she looks back at me and goes, on cocaine. Like, that's just how she phrased it. And I went, No. I took like three gravity bong hits. I took three gravity bong hits and I'm fucking stoned. And she's like, but you're on cocaine. And finally I'm like, no, why are you doing this? And she's like, okay, like you're high on marijuana. Let's see. So they give me an EKG machine. They give me an X-ray. Yeah. They do everything. And I'm going like, the biggest weed freak out I've ever had.
Oh, plus if they don't take your word for it, when you're like, I'm high, then they're like, nah, it's got to be something else.
And you're already paranoid.
And I'm already paranoid and I'm already fucking spiraling. So I'm like,
fuck.
They're not listening to me. I'm going to die while I'm hooked up to this because they left me alone. And I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. And like people are walking by. I'm like, is this how I die? Do I die at 20 years old? And I'm like, making all of these promises. I'm like, I'm not going to get high ever again. I'm never going to smoke cigarettes again. I'm going to run. I'm going to run every morning and I'm going to fucking eat healthy and stop drinking soda. And they come back in and they're like, Mr. Soder, you blew a muscle in your sternum from coughing. They're like, that's
really?
Yeah, that's all it was.
Wow.
I tore a muscle in my sternum. Because during those gravity bong hits, I was like, you take gravity bong hits and you're like, I was just fucking hawking up a lung.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can't stop.
Yeah, dude. It was like the ones where you're wheezing at the end. Where you're like,
oh my God. Like a dry heave cough.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, like, by the way, while we took you, someone actually did die because we.
Yeah, a guy got stabbed in the neck by a meth head, and we were busy dealing with your
fucking
pussy ass. So I just remember that, them being like, your lung capacity is fine. You blew a muscle in your sternum, and I left the emergency room and just started smoking a cigarette. I just lit up a Camel Light on the walk
to my buddy.
Because I drove. I drove to the hospital. So I was like, I knew where I parked. And I was like, dude, I just remember pulling out that pack and being like, listen, man, that's when I thought I was having a heart attack. Fucking different.
Immediately, like, fuck you, God.
Yeah,
turns out,
dude,
I didn't need to make that deal.
And I went home and smoked a bowl and, like, got drunk. It was just, fuck, that was a mess. That was a fucking mess. But that moment, I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for everything.
that's the point where you should be like, all right, let me take a week off.
Yeah.
But no.
Whenever I used to take weeks off when I would visit my grandmother because I'd feel bad about getting high.
Yeah.
And the first time I would get high after a week or more, I would feel a lot of anxiety. Like, I shouldn't
really
be doing, like, I was doing so well. I didn't need weed. Why do I need weed? And then by the second time, I'm like, oh, yeah, weed rules.
It just chills you out. You're like, I shouldn't be, but what was I not should be doing again?
I lived with Vecchione for fucking 10 years. And he's like, you're a person that needs to smoke weed. He just says that all the time. He's like, you're a person where when you're not high, you're too energetic and defensive, and that's a bad combination.
Really? Dude, I get to say every time people are like, you're high, aren't you? I'm like, I'm actually not. They only guess when I'm not high. Probably same as you. Energetic and defensive, like a fucking pothead.
I get super defensive, and I'm like energetic, and I'm running around. We're like, and then if I get high, they're like, oh, there he is. And I'm like, hey. Sometimes I'll freak out about stuff.
But good.
Most of the time, I'm like, how you doing? But I also think that I might be a person that if I went to a different therapist or a different psychiatrist would probably be on mood stabilizers. I wouldn't be surprised if.
Yeah, but that's lame.
Yeah, that is lame.
It's like if weed could do the same thing, you should be prescribing me weed.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Now, you know, I'm staying in New Jersey and it's fucking legal here. So.
Oh, they have stores?
Not yet. No. Not yet, but I'm very excited for that.
That's nice. So you can smoke in the street.
I think so. I think consumption is legal.
Dude. Well, that is nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet. Because we grew up. What age did you start smoking?
That's just a nice thing.
I smoked a couple times in college, and then it was like 2 years into the comedy store, maybe three, when I started smoking. So I was 28, 29. But so I always had it legal.
I knew how to, like, I was raised smoking weed illegally. So I had all the tricks.
Always cautious.
Like a bounce sheet. Like I would always keep a box of bounce dryer sheets in my fucking car. God.
You ever leave them too close to the weed and then it just like makes the weed smell, like taste, the aftertaste is like bounce?
Yeah, dude. Because I knew my parents were alcoholics, I was like, okay, I can't drink. But then I got really into weed when I was in high school, where it's like shotguns, blunts, like all that. Like,
we built our long.
Yeah, dude. I was smoking like, I would work in high school to buy eighths. I'd be like, all right, I got $50. I can go buy an eighth.
Whoa. Yeah. You couldn't even have the money. How'd you have the money? I didn't have the money when I was like a 3-year comic.
I had a job in high school and also our
at
buddy.
No cost.
I could say it right now because he's probably not a drug dealer anymore, but our buddy, this kid Devin that went to my high school, was a full-on weed dealer by junior year, and he lived with an older lady. He was like 18.
D-ball?
I almost said his last name, but Devin was like, he had a mustache, and he sold weed, and it was in this townhome complex by my house, and you would like... literally wait in line at Devin's apartment to buy weed from him. But the reason he was able to sell so much weed to high school kids was he would do grams for $20 or for 25, you could do a half eighth, which is 1.5 grams.
Wow. That's expensive.
I know. And we just do it. Before Devin got into it, we would drive to Boulder. There was like a guy in Boulder that you could get really, really good weed from.
That's such a crazy way to start smoking weed. I just went to stores. It's so different. You could just go to a store. It's just like,
you know what?
They have maps.
One of my favorite embarrassing weed moments was when I moved to New York. I was 23, and I needed weed, and I was staying in Hoboken, and my roommate who worked on Wall Street was like, oh, there's this guy that sells really good weed. He does $20 grams. They come in their own, but you can only buy it in grams. You can't buy like a 3.58, which is stupid. Oh, you have to buy 3 grams for $60.
Waste of plastic.
Waste of plastic. Well, he put them in these glass vials, these like these glass vials that were evenly weighed out for a gram. And he worked at this parking garage, and I was sleeping on my buddy's couch when I first moved out here. And I was like, I just got a job. I just got enough money to be like, yo, I'm going to buy an eighth for the apartment for a weekend so we can like smoke bowls. And I go to the parking garage where this dude works. And I'm like still Colorado, Arizona, Dan, you know, I'm like, hey, how are you? How you doing? And he's just like this Dominican 21-year-old, you know, he's like, what's up? What's up, dog? Just like not.
You talk different.
Yeah, there's just no, there's zero Midwestern niceness in this guy. He's just like, what you need, money? And I'm like, hi, can I get 3 grams? He's like, yeah, 60. And I have the 60. And I remember giving it to him, and he goes, and I have snow gloves on, and he goes to give me the 3 vials, and I drop 2, and they break.
No.
They break. And he just goes, psh, man, and just walks away. And then I'm sitting there picking nugs up out of snow and glass. Like, I think I got 1 vial, but oh, dude, it was so embarrassing. Oh, fuck. It was so embarrassing.
He's like, you just ruined my spot. I'm out of here. Dude, he enjoy that. By the way, no refund. You're out of the store.
Exactly. He walked away from me like I shit my pants. He was like, oh man.
He was like, you suck. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? You fucking suck.
It's completely the energy he had the entire time. He's like, you're a fucking dork. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, I need my little, oh, I need my weed.
He was probably like, I hate this job. These fucking losers are coming to me. Yeah. God damn it.
These white boys can't even handle a handoff.
Well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. That was fucking hilarious.
It's fun smoking a bowl with you.
But Dan is, you guys can all hear, I gotta believe, you can all hear on the bonfire.
Yes.
Monday through Thursday.
Faction Talk Radio 103.
Faction Talk Radio 103. I gotta believe that you can do that right now.
And check out the podcast, The Bonfire. And also check out the podcast, Six and Jump.
And
we're going to be back, baby. We got to cut to season 3. We got some work to catch up on.
Dan, that was great. That was hilarious, man.
Dude, thanks.
You're the best.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Skeptic. Hi, I'm Ari Shaffir, here to talk to you about CushyDreams.com. Cushy Dreams offers a wide variety of smokable CBD. And I found that if you rub some on your cock, you can fuck hardcore all fucking night. I'm killing this pussy. I'm fucking killing it. Thank you, Cushy Dreams, for allowing my dream of crushing pussy to come true. Most people just smoke it, but you're a fucking fool. Take that, cum, bitch. Take that. Oh, I'm hard again. Oh, yeah. Take that fucking cum. Thank you, Cushy Dreams. Oh, CushyDreams.com. I swear by it.
Tony Hinchcliffe, thanks for being here. Straight from fucking Miami, one of the worst cities, not just in America, but in the world.
It's good to be here. I'm glad you made me feel so good about the city that I'm in right now. I was actually enjoying myself until you said that.
I mean, the beach is okay. South Beach is just, it's a city known for black dudes hollering at white chicks.
Yeah, and Cubans. They are a wild, wild race.
They really are. And they're in their environment there, so they're just as free as they're ever going to be. There's not even a little bit of like, let's blend in.
Yeah, not great audience members either. They respond to rhetorical questions and things like that. And, you know, they really give their own perspective after each joke when they get a chance to.
I remember the first time I was there, everyone was yelling in different spots of the room. Just like, and then the manager of the old Miami Improv went and quieted one table. I'm like, what's that going to do? There's fucking nine different. Like, so, Tony, let's talk about weed for a second for my 420th episode. You and I have smoked many times together. You're one of the
yep.
You're one of probably this the second guy that I've gotten on this podcast who has smoked and had that moment where he has smoked with an HIV positive person and had to have that moment where you go, too late. I'm too late.
Yeah. Yeah. Again and again and again and again and again, over and over and over again. I'm like, well, I guess we really are going to find out if you can get HIV through smoking pot, because if you can, I'm going to catch it from this guy without a doubt.
One of my favorite things about smoking with Jeff Scott is we all have that moment and then seeing a new person have that moment and go, you're like, it's okay, dude, you can't transfer it that way. We would have already all been dead.
Yeah, I've seen some, very famous comedians, you know, they would pass them a joint or a bowl or something like that. And I know for a fact, some of these comedians, and I don't want to name names because I don't want to make them seem ignorant or whatever, but like, you know, I know for a fact they probably wouldn't have passed it to him if they knew he had HIV.
I thought to Resistisi, he was like, he didn't know he had HIV for like a year. And so then he was like, oh, I've done, well, too late. It's yeah. Like, I've either got it or I'm not. So Tony, when did you start smoking weed? How, like, what age were you when you started smoking?
Jeez, I was in high school, early high school, so 14, 15, right in there. Maybe even between the summer between eighth grade and freshman year was really a big one for me. So it was actually probably then, I think 14.
Wow. And you told me about a specific strain of weed that's really not available, nor should it be, anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. Youngstown Brown.
The Youngstown Brown. Yeah. Well, I was in Indonesia and I got what I, at the time, considered the worst weed in the world. And I say, editor's note, I have never tried the Youngstown Brown, so I'm not sure.
Well, there is a catch with the Youngstown Brown. It looks like shit. There's seeds everywhere. But for some unexplainable reason, it gets you a type of high that is just crazy. And it's just like funny high. It's not like relaxing high. You have to be around people and there has to be, you know, like laughs going on. It is a specific type of sharp sativa-ish weed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And that actually reminds me of something maybe we should talk about just for a minute. It's like the different – when you get a new guy who hasn't smoked pot and they're like, I don't like weed. And everybody goes, well, what kind of weed have you smoked? Have you tried sativa? Have you tried indica? And they all really do different things. My favorite of the giggle weed is Pete's OG Kush.
Yep. Yep. It is the very best. And, yeah, I've been looking for that since moving to Texas.
What is the selection like in Texas? It can't be like L.A. where you got to decide what you want.
No, it sucks. It's not that great. It's like the guy sends me a menu every, like, I don't know. I guess I need a new ounce like every 2 or 3 weeks or something like that.
Menu's what you want.
Yeah, there's 4 or 5 different kinds. This is a no-brainer. I'll take the best one. I'll take the most expensive one. And so I got an ounce of that, and it was just okay. Like, it was just enough weed to – yeah, I mean, it's just – I guess it's good.
How much?
How much did it cost?
Yeah.
I think it was like $230 or $240 or something like that.
For an ounce. All right, that's not bad.
Yeah, but the point is like I got the best kind, and it was like the if I got it in L.A., I would have like sent it back.
You would have returned it. That's one of the coolest things about dispensaries in L.A. They really are. You're like, hey, man, this is – come on. No. I'm a loyal customer. This isn't doing it. And they will be like, okay, give back what you have.
I was kidding. I've never actually done that, but you're Jewish, so you obviously like didn't get
that. Of course I have. Of course I have. You call that 27%? Come on, dude. And they're like, all right, here's some 2 free grams for your troubles, and we'll get you something else for in place of this.
It's wild. In Texas, it's like starting all over again. It's so bizarre. It's literally like being in between California and Ohio. It really is. Weed-wise and geographically.
It's Austin, though, right? It's not like fucking El Paso or something.
I know, but I don't think they're getting the right shipments, man. I just don't. I don't know. I think things will probably maybe when our buddy Pete gets his stuff going, maybe things will change. Maybe he'll swing the market to a better quality.
Hopefully, you got to catch up. If that's around, then everyone else will have to up their game. One cool thing about weed is the tolerance will adjust to the weed you're getting.
Yeah, that's true. For example, I know that for a fact because I've been smoking this Texas weed for a couple months now. And A friend just sold us a weed vape pen. We got a weed vape pen. We hit it. We got high as fuck. And so I bought a weed vape pen, and this thing gets me stoned to the gills, like almost like a dangerously calm, relaxed type of high, to where I'm pretty much lazy as shit when I'm smoking it. But it's at least hitting me. Whereas vape pen, I didn't really smoke vape pens much in LA because why would I?
Why would you? You have the best quality flower. Vape pens have always been to me like it was cool for a minute, and then when you smoke it too much, I get fucking cloudy all day. If that's my normal fucking, even when I'm not high, I'm just like, all right, I'm out of it. That, they're putting some fucking chemicals in that, which is pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. And vape pens, I go in and out of these phases. It's happened before. Like once a year, I'll fall in love with a vape pen for like a month, and then by the end of the month I realize that I haven't written a joke or come up with anything funny in 2 or 3 weeks, and I'll just stop.
Yeah, like you come out of it, you're like, and you're fine with it until you like come out for a second, you're like, oh shit, I'm a loser, and then you go right back in, you're like, I better stop.
100%.
Can you drive okay when you're high?
100%. 100%. I drove from LA to Austin, and I was stone the whole time. I mean, a crazy amount of high. And I can't, it would have been such a miserable drive without it. But instead, it was so much fun. It makes the boring, you know, it makes boring views beautiful. You're like, wow,
dude, that's
look
the
at
best,
that mountain
that's,
over there.
That's the best thing about the traffic in LA. It's just like everybody's got multiple types of weed in their car. So when you hit traffic, you're like, whatever, radio's on.
Hell yeah. Music's playing, music's better, the view's better, the weather's better, everything feels nice.
That must have been gorgeous driving through America with fucking, you drove, that's great, with fucking high as shit, listening to tunes.
That's it. The sound system in my car was lovely, so I mean, I had everything I needed. It was actually quite fun, quite enjoyable.
Dude, when I moved to California, I drove from Maryland, and I met my friend who used to live in Maryland, and he was living in Florida, right where you are now, and we met like in Nashville. We each took a car. I didn't get high back then. He got super fucking stoned the whole way and drove the speed limit, and I drove, you know, 15 miles over the speed limit, and then I'd find a place and he'd catch up, to stop for the night. So I was ahead of him. When you get into California over those mountains and you just come into California. And they were stopping every car to look for fruits and vegetables. And I was like, called him as soon as I got through there. I'm like, hey, dude, open up your fucking windows right now. You're going straight to cops. And he was like, afterwards, he's like, dude, thank you for that call. I was fucked. They stopped you fucking 8 feet out.
Wow. That is hilarious. Yeah. I'm always scared pulling up to those things. They have, you know, they have those little immigration checkpoints on the way here coming through El Paso and all that. But I'm so white, you know. It's such
you just shrug your face,
do an extra white thing, like wave with my hands side to side. You know what I mean? Like, hello, just me, just a white guy.
All blue lives matter.
So I waved so they could see the whitest part of my hand.
That's right. How's your stand up high?
It's the huge. I mean, that's normally how I do it. I don't get too high before. I mean, obviously I have, but I like to take like a couple hits, and you know, that's another thing going back to Jeff Scott. It's like, you know, that was part of the routine back in the day.
Couple
it was like take 2 or 3 hits maybe. I mean, I would go out oftentimes in the back alleyway, and when I say often, I actually mean like all the time. Like 100% of the time. I would go to the back alleyway.
Nothing much, yeah.
And even if there's 40 people out there in sacred ground, I would light up a joint. I would take 2 or 3 hits to myself. I'd put it out, and then I'd leave. And I could tell people, sometimes people would be like, hey, why, you're not going to pass that thing? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to pass
it. I don't know any of you. I don't know any of you. Why are any of you here?
Yeah, exactly. And then after my set, I would go back, and I'd smoke the rest of it with Jeff, or just smoke with Jeff, and you know.
How frustrating is this? Because you remember the days of smoking in other parts of the comedy store, that when they got corporate, they eventually shut down. Which The way Edgar says it, he goes, Ari, it was already ruined. There were too many people we didn't know in there. But what is that feeling when you walk back to Sacred Ground? Because it's one exit, one same exit and entrance. And you go out, you can't really see who's there until you take three steps out there. And you look around and you don't know anybody or they're all fucking chuds. And you're like, fuck, I either got to tell these people I don't want to talk to them by leaving. What do you do?
In the beginning, you know, when it first started, I would be nice. You know what I mean? I wanted them to enjoy the back alleyway, sort of like how I did when I first found it. But towards the end there, I mean, it was just chaos. Roast battle on Tuesdays and even Kill Tony on Mondays. You know, people would migrate back there that just didn't belong back there. And I was never that way with it. And then I thought of it one day and I'm like, that's not how I ever treated it. Like I, even as like an employee, when I first started there, I was like, I'm not going to bother these guys. You know, you remember all those guys and they were like,
the big time comics are smoking. I'm like, that's not, I don't know. No way. If I get invited, I'll be quiet, but no way am I going there.
100%. And I think that's the ultimate difference maker. Things like that. Like I look for people that are like that sometimes now, because it really says something about the overall quality and their like the length of time they're going to be around.
If you recognize that other people exist and there's places in the world that you don't know.
Right. There's nothing more annoying than someone trying to network in stand-up comedy. The only thing more annoying than that is when they're trying to network while you're getting stoned.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, you want to be at some point like, and you want to be like, hey, man, can you just cool it for a little bit? It's just like, God damn.
Yeah, this is doing the opposite effect of what you're hoping it's going to do. I'm starting to not like you because...
Yeah. Dude, I yelled at someone at the Cellar. It was some new comic, and he came in, he was like drunk, and he was like, oh, hey, what's, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm like, okay. And then he's like, do you have any advice for, like, how do I get up here? I'm like, oh, dude, it's way too soon for you. You shouldn't even be here. Like, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you the most sympathetic answer. You're drunk. You shouldn't be here. You're making a first impression. You should get out of here. And he goes, okay, I'm like, I'm telling you, man, for real. And then he started to leave and comes back. And then he was, and I always told him again, I was like, dude, you got to get the fuck out of here. I saw him bothering other people. And then I'm like, get out of here. And then somebody was like, can I just get advice? I'm like, I'm giving you advice. Get the fuck out of here. I'm telling you, you're ruining it for yourself. In 10 years, you're going to be embarrassed about this.
Yep. 100%. No doubt about it. So many people at the Comedy Store were like that, especially towards, you know, this boom towards the end of, during the start of the pandemic. It just became so casual.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, weed's more legal than ever. So just go smoke in the front.
Yep. They literally can. It's so funny. And I've had so many people, you know, ask me that. Like, you know, where's a good... Hey, Tony, you know, we came here. We drove all the way from Detroit to be here. Where can we smoke? It's like on the sidewalk. Go where you came from. They'll let you back in. Like, go smoke and come back.
You can say wherever you smoke a cigarette. Do that.
Like, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's as legal as a cigarette.
That's so fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. But cool.
Yeah.
That's what I do on the road. People are like, where can we can we smoke? I'm like, I don't know. Light it up. Can you? I don't have any. I just got here.
Whole different thing in Texas, though, dude. I was smoking a joint by the river the other day. I was just like completely chilling. I'm like, this is incredible. It was like my first time next to the river. I'm like, this is so cool. And I'm, you know, a few hits off a joint, and all of a sudden there's this fucking boat cop that pulls up out of nowhere. Like, I mean, I didn't even see. He must have like cut his engine like a minute out and just rode the waves in.
Like it's a drive-by, a boat drive-by.
Yeah. And he tied his boat up, and I immediately got 100 times more stoned. Like, there's something about perhaps getting arrested for smoking pot that increases the THC absorption levels.
Feelings matter.
Yeah. Because I don't know the laws in Texas. I don't know. Am I about to spend a night in jail? Is this
first a first got me get arrested by a boat cop?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like,
why didn't you just walk away?
Yeah. I'm like, is this guy going to take me to the station on a fucking boat? This is going to be awesome.
Show up like the Sex Pistols did for the fucking awards. It's like taking you off a boat. That'd be so fucking cool with a bunch of fucking people trying to come in right from the Gulf. What?
Yeah. And then it got even crazier because I'm watching him. Turns out he's not even looking at me. and he reaches into his boat and he pulled out a police bicycle and rode away. He like tied his boat up. He grabbed a police bicycle and drove off.
Guys, the biggest pussy on the force.
Exactly. I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, when you get stoned, sometimes you like feel bad for other people's lives. You know what I mean? I'm like, this guy needs a fucking police car so badly. Like, he's going to cry his eyes out when he gets promoted to police car.
You felt real, empathy for this dude.
Like, totally.
And I want the best for you.
And you ain't living it.
I'm like, he can't take anyone into the station. Not on a boat, not on a bicycle.
Yeah, how's he going to, like, hold on or get in the fucking handlebars? Like, stand up behind me holding with your feet in the fucking pegs?
Yeah. You hold on to my waist. You're going to be in big trouble when we get there.
All right. Well, thanks, Tony. I just want to get a bunch of fucking stoners on this podcast and celebrate my 420th.
Everybody listen to Kill Tony, still out every Monday. YouTube, I assume, and some clips up there at least, right? And audio. And I've been on a bunch of times.
Come visit us in Austin soon and come do one.
Yeah, for sure. When I get back. Yeah, I'll definitely make a trip to Austin and see everybody. All right, bud.
Awesome.
I'll talk to you later.
Right, have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye. Skeptic.
Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank is brought to you by Smoking in Nature. You're out in nature, walking with your best friend.
What could be better than lighting up a joint? Not much. Especially if it's a half-smoked Ecuadorian joint that's probably been dipped in acid. Don't forget, yous go better with marijuana. Back to the episode.
I'm doing a 420th episode. Adrian Appalucci, the Dark Queen. I'm doing a 420th episode of my podcast, and so I want to just do weed stories with a bunch of people. So I wanted you to tell, because that's the biggest freak out I've ever seen.
That's the biggest what?
Freak out I've ever seen. I've never seen somebody get that paranoid.
Well, I normally don't really smoke pot. So I've only smoked pot probably with you a couple of times since I was like 20.
Wow. Yeah, I was surprised you let me get you high, too. The first time I was like, kind of like, all right.
Well, I think I started slow, and we were having such... Like, I remember we were in Austin when we were doing it, right? We were having so much fun. I just remember sitting at the table. We were laughing so much. And then, like, the third day, I think we just smoked a lot more. And you were, like, shape-shifting before my eyes in that restaurant. And that's where I got...
What, at the diner?
Yeah. The diner we were at, and you were... You were asking me questions where I thought you were trying to trick me into stuff to use against me later. Like, you would ask me which comics I wanted to die, and then...
No, but I didn't say die. It was, first of all, it's just a topic of conversation.
I know, but, like, if we were talking now, I could answer that. But back then, I just kept saying, everything I say, he's going to remember this and use it against me. So I get that now, but, like, high, I could not understand that. High went into conspiracy theories, and it was crazy.
Okay, but... Also, for the record, it wasn't just who could die. It was also who could just be deleted, like never had existed.
But you also asked me whose shows I don't like or acts, and it just felt like you were trying to catch me to like say stuff about comics.
I was trying to talk shit with you.
Yeah, then later you were going to just be like, you'll never guess what Adrian said about you. That's what I thought you were doing. So I was like, this seems... That's just your nature, though.
It sort of is. Can I just tell you something you reminded me of? When I was in yeshiva in Israel, in seminary, me and my friend David in yeshiva went to other people's dorms and got them to talk shit about their roommates.
Okay.
And we had a hidden tape recorder in our pockets.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it
seemed like you were trying to get me to just say stuff about people I didn't like and... I wish would die, and then, like, you were just going to go tell them all.
Yeah, so then what was your reaction to that?
My reaction to that was like, okay, so Ari, I just thought if you were willing to do that, you might also just be... Then I thought you were trying to do that, but only to take away from the fact that you were going to kill me. I don't know. I looked at you at one point during the meal, and I remember thinking, Ari's going to fucking murder me. And I was, and then everything. So then everything kept lining up too. I was like, he has this house.
It was just a realization that I'm going to murder you.
He could actually kill me. Like, it just, everything just seemed to line up.
It did have a backyard. Why fire pit? To burn the body?
Yes. I don't know, Ari. I wasn't thinking rationally, but it's just a place you could definitely saw a body, a backyard. You're not going to do that in a hotel.
I just remember.
I don't know what made you start thinking of that. I don't know. I think.
Yeah, you got me on a loop of logic where I'm like, I'm not going to kill you. And you're like, but of course you would say that if you were going to kill me. And I couldn't at that point disagree. I'm like, yeah, of course I would say that if I was going to kill you, but I'm not. Okay, so let's get back to this. Because here's what I said. Once you said, like, you're going to kill me, and I'm like, I'm not. I made a wrong turn and then had to go around, and you look like you fucking, it was over.
I just remember we were going back. First of all, I don't even know exactly the road home. I just knew it looked more secluded, and we passed the hotel, and I was like, that's where you're going to kill me. And that's where you're, and I was like, should I jump out of the car right now? And you were like, no, don't jump out of the car. And I was like, that's what you would say, so I won't jump out of the car.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, but that, kill you or not, I would definitely say don't jump out of the car. That's crazy. But that would probably be your only chance of surviving it. You would have to get out.
I know, and then you even said, like, because you're on the spectrum, that you couldn't even say to me, like, Adrian, I'm not going to do that. You were like, well, I guess that does make sense.
You would see through it if I said no.
So, and then the night just got weirder and weirder. Then we were sitting back at the table, and we were talking for a while, and I would just, like, look at you and freeze up and be like, it's going to happen now. Oh, my God.
Because you would start to forget a little bit.
Yeah, like, I guess I would.
And then it would hit you.
I guess I would forget that I thought you were going to kill me for a bit. And then I would just have fun for a couple minutes. And then I'd go back to it. And I just, like.
It was like you, every time you suddenly figured it all out.
Yes.
And then your face would just drop.
I think that was the last time I smoked, to be honest.
I want to see your face of what you would do, and I'll do my face of what I thought you did. Every
okay,
time.
I would just be like, "Oh no, this is it. This is what you're gonna do. It. I know it. It's coming right now."
This is all I would see. I wish you could see me, but I'll see what it's up. It was just you were like laughing about something else. You forgot for a minute about your troubles and how I'm gonna kill you, and then you were like, "Oh, he's gonna kill me." I was like, "Oh, and of course he would say that." So it would go like this. It would go.
Yeah, I think at one point, though, didn't you think I was going to kill you? Because you were like, hey, I'm going to lock...
Yeah, oh, I
like
my door. I locked my door that
night.
You're
like, I'm locking my door. I'm going to go to sleep. And I was like, well, I'm not going to come near you.
Yeah, because I was like, what if... I could easily see you going to, like, it's him or me. And I got to fucking... I'm not going down.
I wouldn't do that. Because there was part of me...
You were sure you wouldn't do it?
I was sure I wouldn't do it because I knew that I was being a little overreactive, especially once we got back to the house and you didn't kill me at the hotel. I knew that, like, that would have been a good place to kill me. So then I was like...
What was the hotel? We went to a hotel?
No, we passed... No, we were just driving home from that diner, I guess, and we passed the hotel, and I was like, this is a different way. Why are we going a different way home? And then we got lost, but I took that as you pretending we got lost so you can murder me somewhere.
But I do remember going, like, how would this assist me in murdering you? How would the wrong turn help me in any way?
In my head, I was just like, all right, he's going to try and trick me by saying, like, oh, we just got lost here. Kind of like when you run out of gas somewhere. And you're like, oh, shit.
Go out to the woods.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure there's a gas station in the woods somewhere.
I just saw this fucking shitty hotel room, this shitty hotel, and I was like, this is where he's going to kill me. He doesn't want to even ruin the nice apartment. The nice house.
The nice Airbnb that we got with the fire pit.
Yeah. I mean, I did think it was such a great way to kill somebody because you had that house. I wasn't thinking past that much, though.
It's just like, I don't know, it makes sense. That's the best feeling about drugs. Like, I can't explain it, but it for sure makes sense.
I remember,
it lines up.
Yeah, I remember the night before. There was two nights we had a lot of fun, and then the night I thought you were going to kill me. But the two nights before, we were laughing so long, I was trying to look at the video of that girl that hates you with the arm, and we couldn't find it. And I mean, we were trying to look at that for a while, and I remember just laughing so hard. I don't even know if we ever found it, but we were just trying to find it.
We were just
like
talking about it. Oh, my God. That was funny. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You got high like a new person, so it was so fun.
It was
like fun giggles.
It was very fun, and then we were looking it up, and that made us laugh for so long. But that was the good night, and then the bad night. But I think if you – I just started – piecing together things you were saying that I thought you could use against me.
Right.
So I think that's why I started being like, well, if he's going to do this, he's probably going to also kill me. I mean, it is a definite jump. It's a leap.
It's once you go down a bad road of paranoia, it's just a fucking whirlpool until you just keep getting sucked further down. That's nuts. I could see it happening to you, and I was just like laughing, but also I can't stop this. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I can't talk you out of it.
It'd been funny though if I got into your room and murdered you.
Yeah, I mean, I legitimately was like, I'm going to bed. You're gonna be fine. Stop freaking out. And then I was like, I got up and I was like, yeah, I gotta lock this door. I
wouldn't have done that. I wasn't 100% sure you were going to kill me. I think if I did...
You could have gotten more sure as you let it fucking
whirlwind. No, I think as the night went on, it started to, like, linger. I think I also talked to Liz. Didn't I call Liz up? And she convinced me you weren't going to kill me.
Really?
Yeah, I think I called someone up. I think I called a friend up, and they were like, okay, why would he take you on the road to kill you? I was like, I don't know.
Like, right, you don't know. It doesn't... Why would he do that?
I know, but she convinced me that you were not going to murder me. So you really owe your life to her.
Yeah, really, she's a hero, Liz Mealy.
She is a hero.
She's a fucking hero. Maybe, actually, she's dyslexic. Maybe she was trying to have you kill me because she thought she was talking you into doing it.
I don't think so. She's not like a shapeshifter.
I don't think
that's
how
like
dyslexia
you.
Works.
Yeah. I think you see stuff backwards. You don't, like, try and get people to commit murder.
Yeah, I just see, like, the evil side of things.
Yeah, and then I forget we were talking about Jewish people being lawyers, and that came up during it too, where I was like, this is you using your legal expertise. I don't know. It was just everything was jumbled.
As a Jew?
I know, but everything was just jumbled into one. Well, I had a really bad trip when I was a kid. I probably only smoked 10 times my whole life. The first time I had so much fun. The second time I had a worse trip than when I was with you. And I was 16. Me and all my friends were at my friend's house for like New Year's Eve.
Hood rat friends?
No. Yeah. Not hood rat. But I got so high that I kept thinking. You ever see on a TV show where like you go into a coma and you have to wake yourself up so you don't die? That was my whole night. My whole night I was trying to wake myself up out of this coma so I didn't go into the light.
Wow.
I mean, I threw my friends were all crying at one point because they were like, should we take her to the hospital? They're like, we're 16, we're drunk, we're high. They're like, we're going to get in so much trouble.
Like,
but it was, I mean, at one point, one of my friends was like holding me. I mean, everyone was crying. We didn't know what was happening. One of my friends was holding me and like rocking me while we're crying. And then I just thought I died and I was in my mother's arms. Like, I mean, the weirdest stuff. So that's why I never smoked after. And then
I'm surprised you let me smoke you out. You didn't. You were like, no. And you're like, no, all right.
Well, I was like,
I'm surprised
let me
with
see.
That as a history.
I know. I guess I felt like we had so much fun for two nights, and then that third night we just went nuts. So it was like,
yeah.
That when I was a kid was way worse than that. I remember throwing myself in the shower and punching myself to wake myself out of this coma.
Wow.
I thought I was swallowing my tongue. So yeah, I don't have a great relationship with pot.
Yeah, fun night though overall.
It was a fun weekend. It's a great show.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. Yeah, they were really great that weekend. That place was great.
It's coming back though.
Yeah, Cap City's coming back. I'm pretty excited. We got to go back maybe next year.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right, Adrian. Thanks, man.
That was fun.
Yeah, you can press stop, but let me talk to you for another 2 minutes. Oh, but let me just say this: Adrian Appalucci is fucking. You can hear her brand new album. Baby Skeletons on my YouTube account fucking 6 weeks ago and or Spotify or you can buy the album but Baby Skeletons, you gotta listen to it. It's fucking great. Anyway.
Oh wait, thanks to everyone that's also donated. I'm writing back to everyone one at a time. So
are you really?
I'm writing back to
You're writing them
I'm
all
writing
back?
Every single person back and thanking them.
Like a bar mitzvah kid.
Yeah, I stopped the video though, so there's no video of this.
Okay.
But I did want to thank everyone because I feel like people are probably like, this bitch didn't even write me back. It's like, I'm just going through every single one slowly.
Wow, that's like a bar mitzvah kid. You got to write this thank you notes. They were the worst part of getting all these presents. You get so much money in presents, then you're like, thank you for the kind present you brought. Much nachas to my family. you got to send those dumb things. That's great that you're doing that.
I am,
that's
and
good.
If somebody writes something that is like personalized, I'll respond back to that. Like if somebody saw me open for you in Spokane or Charlotte or something, like I'll write them back and make it personal. If somebody just writes like funny stuff, I can't write that much back to that. I'll be like, hey, you know, follow me on YouTube or
Were there a lot of people who had seen you
open for me? A lot of people had seen you.
Who then heard the...
Yeah. Do you want me to put the video back on? Because I turned the video off.
Yeah, put it back on. Yeah, put it back on.
Now.
Yeah, absolutely. But like... it's cool because I saw a couple comments of like, oh, I was wondering who that was. And I just lost her name. And I don't know if I wanted to know who it was.
A lot of people... I mean, first of all, you have very supportive fans. Well, the people that wrote to me were very supportive. The one,
The ones that are left?
The ones that are... I think you probably have a decent amount of followers.
yeah, I have good fans. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people saw me. A lot of people saw me on the Jew tour. Somebody dubbed you the Jungle Jew, which I thought was fun. That's why I knew you were in the jungle.
I like that.
A lot of people told you to... lick their balls, which I think if you if they left an address you would do it, but they haven't.
It's part of the $100 Patreon tier.
Well, nobody's left an address. A couple of like fuck Ari, but like still donated, which was nice. So that means they definitely still like you.
Well, that's cool.
A lot of people in Spokane was a lot. Definitely Charlotte, Pittsburgh.
You got some $1 donations.
I got some $1 donations from people who were like, "I am the poor people," which I thought was funny.
Yeah,
which was also really nice. I got one person that donated $200. I was like, Jesus, man, I should find out where this person lives and marry them.
It took you a while to write it. How long was that since the last thing you did? How long was that material?
That album was from 2018, because I was going to tape a special, and then COVID hit, and I was like, well, I guess I'll put my album out now.
Oh, right.
So what I was going to do for the special was take a good chunk of that and mix it with some newer stuff, and then that didn't happen, so we'll see what happens now.
We'll see when live stand-up comes back. But that's great. That's so cool that people reached out and had nice compliments and shit.
You have a lot of nice fans.
And paid money.
You have a lot of Hispanic fans that I thought it would just be white people.
Yeah, I think they finally forgive me for the Amazing Racist, and now it's like flooding back in.
I don't think anyone that's your fan would really be upset by that. Really?
No, not for real.
Yeah.
It's just idiots. It's just idiots. It is, so it's like, all my fans are like, are you guys idiots? Oh, you guys are idiots.
It is fun when somebody gets introduced to that or sees it for the first time and then they're upset.
Yeah, if you're still getting mad about it. It's so fucking good if you're still getting mad about it.
I think somebody also donated like and was like, fuck Ari for making that joke about Kobe, but also still donated. So, like, it's nice that they can just compartmentalize stuff too.
That is nice. That's what you want to do in life. Yeah.
So thank you guys.
Hey, you cut me off, but that's still a nice Mercedes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Age. Thanks, man. It's nice talking to you.
Skeptic.
Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank is brought to you by Gravity Bongs. Pipes are confusing and often dangerous, many times leading to unnecessary blindings. Who doesn't hate being passed a joint that's covered in disgusting saliva? By using supplies found in most bathrooms and many, many dumpsters across the nation, you can make yourself your own gravity bong. Simply light the marijuana. As you slowly pull the gravity bong out of your bathtub or sink full of dirty water, filling the chamber full of delicious, beautiful, high-inducing marijuana smoke. After that, it's yours to enjoy. Gravity bongs. They're still big in Central Washington State. Mark fucking Norman, who I have smoked weed with or not?
Oh yeah, many times. I mean, we did shrooms. We did shrooms together and that ski trip in Utah.
Oh yeah, you can't do shrooms without weed.
Yeah.
It's like the universal donor. It just goes perfect.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you first started smoking?
Yeah, I remember the first time. I'm not a big smoker. I'm a lightweight. Every time I hit every time I hit a joint, I immediately go, "That was a mistake." Like right when it hits me, every single time. I'm one of these. It's got to be a perfect scenario, like the way women talk about banging a guy. I got to be that way with weed. Like I need a candle lit. I need the door locked. I need to know you for 3 years. So yeah, I'm not good with it. But I remember my first initial ever virgin hymen popping time. My friend Phil was a big pothead. He was like my best bud, skateboard bud. He was a huge weed guy, had a horrible childhood and family life, so he was a big meth head and coke guy. But he's like, we get drunk together all the time. I'm getting you to get high. And I was probably 15. We drove into a parking lot. We were the only people in there.
15.
I smoked, and I was out of my mind for like 9 hours. I couldn't sleep. It was hell.
Dude, that first time, it lasts so fucking long. And you are kind of a lightweight, not in a bad way, but you're usually like, I'll have two hits. I'm good. Yeah. You guys keep smoking. You know, at least you know your place. It's like trying to keep up with alcohol with Bert. You're like, you keep drinking. Exactly. I'm pretty drunk. But like, that first, when you first start smoking, it just like won't leave you.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. And you had to do that thing where you go back to your house and you creak up the stairs. Your mom's like, you hungry? You're like, you just run up the stairs.
in ways you could never imagine.
Yeah. yeah. And then you just lay under the covers and have every horrible thought on the planet. What if I die? Nobody likes me. I'm never going to be anything. You're an idiot. You know. I just go into myself, and it's never good. It's never drunk. I'm having fun. I'm laughing. I'm got you in a headlock. Yeah. This is the opposite.
Is that what they mean by paranoia, when you start thinking like nobody likes me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All that stuff.
All that. That's my number
one.
When
I heard about paranoia, I used to think that meant like people are coming to get me.
Mm.
But then I realized, oh, no, paranoia is just like having thoughts that like aren't real. I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you have – I mean, you've been smoking for so long that you probably have worked out all the kinks. Like if I'm high and there's a knock at the door or my buzzer goes off, I'll call the police.
Like Goodfellas when the helicopter's outside. Yes. And he goes, that's for me. That's for sure for me.
I'm always looking out the window, got the one blind going down. I can't handle it. And the phone rings. I'm like, I'm in trouble. Who is it? You know, I can't even live.
Dude, I remember I started drinking coffee, but I remember when I hated the taste of coffee. And there was finally a time when I realized that I was accepting of it. When someone at the ice house, a waitress, had these chocolate-covered coffee beans. And she was like, have these. I'm like, no, I don't like coffee. And she goes, no, you'll like this. It's chocolate-covered coffee beans. And I was like, okay. And I ate it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like the taste of this. Mm. And then finally it was like, you guys think because you like it, I'm also going to like it. But I know myself.
Right.
What is it about those people who are like, I'm getting you high. You're going to be.
Well, it's everything. Everything's like that. Because my girl is like that. She's like, you want to have a drink? I'm like, I'm good. I'm trying to cut back. I went on a bender. And she's like, well, I don't have a drink alone. And it's the same thing with weed. You don't want to be the one weirdo smoking and being high and baked in the corner while everybody else is, you know, chit-chatting. But it just feels better. It's an insecurity.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's also like when pill poppers are like, you got to do a pill with me.
Yeah.
It's like, just fucking do it, dude.
Yeah.
Do you remember before you started smoking what you thought of weed? Because I thought it was a drug, an evil drug.
Yeah, well, also, yeah, we're I'm, you know, my late 30s here. So weed used to be weed, you know. If you heard like, oh, this guy got popped for weed, you're like, oh, he's an addict. He's going to jail. He had narcotics.
Yeah.
You know?
That's nuts.
Now there's weed stores next to cupcake shops. There's weed gummy bears. It's so accessible now that like weed, I'm like, weed. If I catch my kid smoking weed, I'm going to go, oh, good. That's fine.
I love that it's become way more legal, but the negative is it's lost its outlaw feel.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I remember during Katrina, the city was, you know, martial law. People are shooting each other. Everybody's going down Broadway on a canoe, and people are just smoking joints. And there was, even though the city was ruined, people are dead, there was this weird freedom and, like, relief to just being able to smoke weed in the South openly.
Yeah, now it's just not illegal. Even people are like, oh, you better be careful and so-and-so. I'm like, no, it's actually fully legal.
Yeah.
You don't have to be careful.
This is how you know weed isn't that bad. I travel all the time for comedy, and much like you, I'm sure, after a show, people hand me drugs. They hand me Adderall. They hand me weed. They hand me mushrooms.
It's the best.
I have pockets full of drugs after shows, and it's great. And I go fly, and I forget. I just put my shit through the ringer, and I don't even notice.
Oh, yeah. I scream at TSA agents knowing I have weed in my bag. I'm just like, it's like painting myself in a corner, but it doesn't matter. It's so not bad.
Exactly. Then you get to, you know, Albuquerque. You're like, oh, shit, I had an eighth of Kind Bud in my jacket pocket this whole time.
Do you fly home with it? I always fly home with it. I don't fly places with it, but I'll fly home with it to New York, not to L.A.
Always. And I even forget. Like, I don't even think about it. It's not like, oh, shit, I got that eighth in my pocket. I just forget. And I get to Newark, and I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that. Sativa.
Yeah. That's how little it matters now.
Yeah. It's nice.
When you can control your levels, like when you do get that perfect, like, okay, I'll have 1.5 hits, you know, whatever. Because sometimes it's way stronger than other times. But when you get that perfect level, like, how fun is weed?
Yeah.
The giggles and the...
That's true. Three beers in, maybe two cocktails in with that just the right amount of weed. It just pushes you over that edge and you're so focused and high and loopy and you're not hitting the paranoia yet. That's a great moment.
Dude, I was drinking at a karaoke party and at the Brass Monkey in Koreatown, and I got too drunk. This was a while ago, and I was like, I gotta go outside for some fresh air. And then I went out there, and I was like, while I'm out here, I may as well smoke a cigarette, which was just a mistake. It's the lack of fresh air, a cigarette. And then as soon as I smoked it, it was just like, started throwing up. It's like, sometimes weed can do that too. But if you get a perfect one, where you have like 2-3 beers, and then you're like, let me have a cigarette, it just cuts it a little higher, uh-huh. And then you get like, yeah, weed can do that too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, have you ever been, they say you can't OD on weed, you can't die from weed, that's what you hear a million times, but I feel like I've OD'd on weed. I didn't die, but I could have been hospitalized.
Right. Yeah, like the OD is not like, you won't die,
yeah.
But you can still have an overdose.
Yes, exactly. It's not the movie heroin foaming at the mouth thing with the stab through the needle. It's just like, I took a bunch of edibles because of the Comedy Store. I did the Tripoli show, and they give you just a grab bag full of CBD, pills, weed, yeah. Shake, whatever the hell it is, cookies. So I had a big pitch meeting in L.A. That's what I was doing in L.A. I was pitching, and it was the first time I'd ever come close to selling a TV show. I had a production company, but Lionsgate was behind it, and so they flew me out first class. They put me in this nice hotel, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my God, this is incredible. And
I feel like a winner.
Yeah, I might actually sell this thing. I've never been flown out before. That was all crazy. So I do the show at the Comedy Store, but I tell Tripoli, I'm like, look, I can't smoke weed because I gotta get some sleep. I got three pitches tomorrow.
It's like a challenge to people.
Yeah, I got three pitches. I got Netflix. I got Amazon. I got Apple TV. I'm in the big leagues, so I'll take some CBD because I can't sleep, but I know weed. He goes, oh, yeah, there's a vial of just CBD. And I go, great. I chug the whole thing, and I go to bed. Turn the lights out. I try to be a good boy. It's probably midnight. By 1:30 a.m., I wake up, and I feel like I'm vertical. Like I'm laying in the bed vertically. The room is spinning. I couldn't. The floor was, like, I looked over down the bed. The floor was a million miles away. I mean, I was on the moon. It was a nightmare. I overdosed. I was looking in the mirror of the bathroom. I crawled into the bathroom. The mirror, I looked like, you know, that monk painting where he's screaming, you know, what is it, Van Gogh? And I just hugged the leg of a chair for like 6 hours, and eventually the sun came up, and I called my agent. I said, I can't go to the pitch. He's like, you're going to the pitch. I said, I can't. And he showed up at the hotel, and he's shaking me. He's like, you're going to this thing. I'm like, look at me, I can't. And I had to skip it.
Oh, no.
I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't even stand. I literally couldn't stand up. It was too much.
Dude, all the people who are like, I'm going to fuck you up, I'm going to get you high, they don't see the repercussions of what's going to be. You're like, I didn't need this.
Exactly. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. It was hell on earth. I just couldn't. The room wouldn't stop moving. I couldn't stop having thoughts. I would have a thought about a thought about a thought. You get in these wormholes and
you're reminding me about early high where you get down these worms and you wish you could write it all down, but the thoughts are going so fucking fast from one thing to the next, and you're having these beautiful, amazing realizations, but it's just gone, instantly gone while you're on to the next thing.
Yeah, completely. And you can't grasp anything. It just keeps floating away. It's like fog. You try to grab it, and oh man, it took like a day and a half to get back to normal.
Sorry about the pitch, but that's so fucking funny.
It was looking back, it was hilarious, but my agent was furious. And then like 2 weeks later, we rescheduled. I had to fly back out there, and then nobody bought it.
Do you ever do Clandestiny in Toronto?
No, what's that?
The Comedy Underground? It's a pot room.
Ah, maybe.
But speaking of ODs, yeah, it was great. It was in the back of a pipe shop. It closed down now, sadly.
Oh, I did do that.
It was one of my favorite.
That was great. It had a big weed leaf on the wall. Yeah, that was fun.
It was great. I always try to get Just for Laughs 2042 to like include that place in their thing, but they're like, it's semi-legal. And I'm like, you should still. Anyway, once every third show there, somebody greened out, which is just like, I guess, lack of oxygen. I didn't think it was possible. And then they'll just like just collapse and fall unconscious on the floor. And they were like, the first time I saw it, I was like, are they okay? Do they need help? Like, no, we just got to drag them outside. They'll just breathe some air for 10 minutes and we'll pull them back in.
Yeah.
It was like, that seems dangerous.
I know, because what do you do? You can't drive on that. Like, you just got to put somebody in an Uber and hope they make it home.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to fucking, the next person I have on this montage, I got to talk about driving high. That's a good thing to talk about. Oh. Have you ever?
Dude, I remember one time me and my friends in college, we all got high and went and saw the Hulk at the movie theaters. And I was driving, and I couldn't park the car because it was a full parking lot. And there was one spot open, yeah. And I was doing the back out, try again, back out, and we missed the movie.
Just parking. It's like the easiest thing. You're like, it's not right. Hold on, I got to get it.
I couldn't do it.
Nobody could help you.
I had a guy, the other high friend was in the, he was outside going, bring it back. All right, cut it. I mean, it was literally a standard parking spot. And I couldn't do it.
It makes you a retard. The easiest fucking task.
I couldn't
just
do it.
Just parking in a spot that's lined for parking.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know how to do this anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. It was too much, and we drove home. But you know, we had more fun trying to park and laughing and making fun of me than we probably would have at the movie.
Dude, the laughs on weed are some of the best laughs.
Yeah.
It's just like an unbelievable level of humor and just like... I mean, I get that. I can't even get there that much anymore. That's why I envy you, like lightweights, because you're like, oh, you can still get fucked up in a fun way.
I guess I got to learn how to, you know, control it more, because I always do too much or too little, then I overdo it, then I'm paranoid. I don't know. I got to work on it.
And the thing is, they tell you like, well, I get paranoid. Oh, you need to do indica or you need to do sativa. It's like, yeah, but guess what? Somebody's just handing me a joint.
Yes.
It's not like I get to like, what kind is that? And act like a fucking ass. They just go, hey, you want this? So it's like, it's not like you get to decide exactly what kind you have or
right.
What. That's not the reality.
Right.
Go to a dispensary maybe, but not in real life.
Yeah. It's like handing somebody a glass of Natty Light and then a glass of vodka. And they go, oh, it's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, do you want you have alcohol? Here's some alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, is that grain or is that a fucking beer? Yeah. Like, there's a big difference.
Of course. I mean, drink maybe a cocktail every other night, and I had a Wild Turkey 101. Somebody sent me a bottle. I was like, it's a whiskey, whatever. I was fucked up after two because it's 101. You got to remember that.
101. I forgot about that from college. 101 was like, it was like this mythical thing that you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's 101 proof?
Yes. We all act like we know what the proof thing. Oh, well, 101 proof. Oh, yeah. I don't know what the hell proof is.
Well, it's like, is that more than 100% alcohol? Yeah. What does that mean?
Right.
All right, Marky.
Oh.
So Mark obviously has a podcast called Tuesdays of Stories, a fucking special right now called Out to Lunch that's on YouTube, and a new podcast.
Yes.
Which I think I did the outro for the podcast that you and I did on in the car that's coming out soon, but I said the wrong name. But because you changed the name. It's, but like, what's the name of it? You and Sam Morril just haven't.
It's Sam Morril. It's called We Might Be Drunk, and it's all about drinking. And we're like, I feel like this drinking comics are a dying breed. I mean, literally, we used to all get fucked up, and we're getting old.
Literally.
So we're trying to hold on to this last couple of crooners who like a libation every now and then.
I'd love to, if you guys eventually have guests and shit comes back when I'm back in America, I'd love to fucking sit in with you guys and get loaded and fucking do one with you.
Oh, let's do it. That'd be great.
I mean, if you ever have guests, but.
We've had our famous day drunks with the bags of margaritas.
Walktails.
Yeah, walktails. There you go.
Yeah, I love that term. Dude, when I got to the cellar, we'll finish this. This isn't even about weed, but like the late show. On Thursdays or whatever, was full of fucking you, me, Sam, Wolf, Mackie. It's just boozers and a tell outside where he didn't judge you because he's been there.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I love those at Hanley. It was just like, we're going for it.
Yes.
This is the late show and we're here fucking. So I got to go do a set. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hold that thought. And then just like, God, I love those fucking booze nights with other boozers. We are a dying breed.
And the drinks were cheaper and you got a couple of freebies. And I remember Michelle Wolf would be like, this is back in the day. She would put down so many gin and tonics. And I'm like, don't you have Seth Meyers in the morning? You're a writer. She's like, yeah. I'm like, you got to go into an office.
She was fine.
Yeah.
She handled it. I don't know. It's a runner's liver or something. She just fucking worked it out by the next day.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Che, too. Che could, I mean, I think still.
Che could fucking load it. Yeah. When he was like, we pretty much everything's written for SNL. Let's get going. We're like, hell yeah, dude. Nice to have you here.
You see, he's in trouble with the Jews.
Why?
Oh, he made a Jew joke, and this one's like going up to like the.
Before I even hear it, I stand by Michael Che, whatever joke he fucking made.
It's the Anti-Defamation League is going after him now.
They, you know, they went after me.
Really?
They, remember those Amazing Races sketches? They put those in the Simon Wiesenthal Center as an example of racism on the internet.
Whoa.
He was in the Simon Wiesenthal Center as an example of racism.
That's a feather in your cap. That's a badge of honor. Good for you.
Absolutely. Don't tell my dad, but yeah, absolutely.
What is that? Is that just a group that gets mad about Jewish jokes?
Yeah, they don't really have a great sense of humor. One time I was in either Edmonton or Minneapolis, one of the Brunson rooms.
Yeah.
And I was on the radio, and I made a joke, which later made it into my act, about how Jews are the... Or the pugs of the human race. They're fucking falling apart. They're too inbred. And somebody called up and was like, yeah. And they're called, that's fucking evil what they said to Ari. And then I think Tammy was like, oh, I think actually Ari said that. I don't think it was a radio host. I think it was Ari. And then people were like, oh, okay, that's all right then.
What?
And I'm like, what do you mean? It's the same joke.
But you're Jewish.
Who cares who said it? Ah, fuck that. Who cares? A joke's a joke.
I agree.
So they know Jews and they like them. Whatever.
Yeah, it's all very silly, but...
Who's signing Michael Che's checks? It's fucking Jews. Of course he likes us.
I know, exactly. And it wasn't even anti-Semitic. It was just kind of true. True is the most edgy. That's when people get the most angry, but check it out. Go.
Dude, true is the most edgy.
Yeah.
I'm going to text him. I'm going to text him and just say, hey, man, you know, I got your back. Don't worry about it, but...
Yeah.
I'll text him just to make sure he knows I support him, but fuck. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like saying...
All right, well, one more drink's the new podcast.
Yes, we might be drunk.
Oh, we might be drunk. Not one more drink.
Yeah, we changed it again. It's the 13th name.
What was the first name?
Last call or... Yeah, first was one more drink, and then we had to change it to we might be drunk.
I think one time I saw it that you misspelled it on the YouTube.
Yeah.
And it was like, we might be like brunk or something. And I was like, oh, that's a great title. But I think you just misspelled it and didn't like... I thought it was a play on that you were drinking.
Well, it was because I was drunk, but that we should have kept it like that. You're right. That's funnier.
Remember Doug Benson's Getting Doug with High?
Yes.
It's like, you might say it like that if you're high.
Right.
I thought maybe you were doing something like that.
Looking back, I'm ashamed that I didn't.
Anyway, buddy, I love you. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me. And when do you come back? Any idea?
I don't know. Maybe springtime.
All right, yeah, don't come back now.
Looking at the weather, I'm not, you know, if everything was open, I wouldn't be coming back right now.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly.
That snow. Yeah.
But we got restaurants.
Yeah, the stand's open.
Yeah, I did a set the other night.
Wow. Indoor sets in New York. Oh. I love it. I miss it. I miss it like crazy.
What a dream. All right.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Get high on me.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Skeptics. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast is brought to you by Doritos. Guys, when you're smoking weed and you're having friends over, Doritos is the only choice. And I don't mean the brand Doritos. I mean Doritos, the red kind. There's other Doritos, and maybe they're your favorites. Maybe Doritos Flaming Hot is your favorite. Or maybe Doritos Ranch is your favorite. But the reality is, that's your favorite. And we're talking about throwing a party. Maybe you go to somebody at a party and say, hey, you want some Doritos Flaming Hot? You know one friend. That would be like, no thanks. Now imagine the same thing with Doritos Red. There's no friends you have like that. None. Case in point. Hey, we want some Doritos Dinamita? Doritos, the red kind. Doritos also suggests you have some water on hand because getting up to go to the kitchen is a fucking ordeal. Maybe Doritos isn't your bag because it's not healthy enough. Doritos says, get some fucking fruit. Maybe it's a fresh grenadilla. You just burned off some calories. My friend, you've earned yourself some Doritos. The Doritos, the red kind. The best chip when you're smoking weed.
When I was in college, I went to India with some friends of mine. In those days, marijuana wasn't legal anywhere in the United States. So we were pretty excited about going to this city called Varanasi, where some traveling Australians had told us that marijuana was legal and that all you had to do is ask the people at your hotel for a bong lassi and they would make you like a yogurt drink with weed in it. So we ended up in this little guest house, and Varanasi is just a maze of streets and monkeys running through rooftops, and just a wild, wild place. Oh, and it smells like barbecue, because that's where people, many, many people, not just in India, but all over the world, go to get cremated. So it just, to put it in perspective, when I got back from India, I went to Six Flags and I passed a burger joint at Six Flags. And the first thing I thought was, oh, it smells like Varanasi. Except it's not burgers, it's burning flesh. So we're in this little guest house and we order a bong lassi. And the person running the guest house gets this, like, now I'm familiar with that look, because I've hung out with you and Joey Diaz. It's the look of somebody who's about to overdose you on weed. And it's like kind of a half smile, but something a little more nefarious in it. And so my friend Emil and I, we drank this yogurt drink with God knows how much marijuana was in it. And we decided that we were going to then pay someone to take us out on the Ganges River, one of the most sacred river. It's the most sacred river in the world, on a boat. And so we push off into the river and I'm looking at this city, which is one of the oldest cities in the world. And there's people up to their waist in the river with like bells and candles, and you know, you can just, people are like dancing around burning bodies on the shore. And that's when the bong lassi kicked in, and I had this like intense deja vu. I felt like I'd been there before like a million times. And then Emil leaned in and whispered to me, the oarsman is using telepathy to control our minds. And that's when I started freaking out. And I don't really remember much of what happened after that. I remember thinking like, maybe I saw a UFO, or there a UFO should appear. You know, when you're that high and you're just like, I think a UFO is going to appear. And then we got back to the guest house, and on the way to the guest house, we passed someone from a competing guest house who leans in and says, you know, they're going to chop your head off at that guest house. Cause he wanted to, I guess, to get our, I don't know, get our business. And yeah. And then we got in the guest house. The power went out. It was a blackout, cause blackouts are kind of common in India. And I guess we were staying in separate rooms, but like, I was just paralyzed with fear for no reason other than I was just overdosed on weed. And then I kind of like made my way down the dark hallway and found Emil's room and went in, and he was just sitting in the darkness. And he's like, thank God you're here. Thank God you found me. I'm like, I found you. And yeah. And then we came down, and yeah, a few days later, I got really sick from eating, from like sarcastically ordering a banana filter, is what it said on the menu, instead of fritter. And so for the next month, I was pissing out of my asshole. So there's my story.
Skeptic. In 1985, Tipper Gore and a bunch of other worthless cunts known as the Parents Music Resource Center, they titled themselves the Washington Wives, started going about trying to censor lyrics on the radio and in music. And they had a House subcommittee, the PMRC, the Parents Music Resource Center, to decide whether or not lyrics, mostly rap lyrics, should be censored. And a bunch of musicians spoke out against it. Even musicians who honestly weren't even affected by it. Dee Snider spoke to Congress. He obviously has cuss words in his language. They asked him, like, but Mr. Snider, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. And he said, but you're a Christian, but you use profanities in your language. And he goes, yeah, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says not to cuss. Interesting. Frank Zappa went and spoke eloquently to Congress.
And probably the most notable of all the musicians who spoke was John Denver, a squeaky clean musician himself. And this new law would barely affect him at all. And he went and spoke, and he spoke about how he's against censorship in any kind, in any form. He called it terrible. And he said one time his own lyrics had been misunderstood. He said his song Rocky Mountain High, which many of you might know, Rocky Mountain High, I don't know how it goes, was once misconstrued as being pro drugs. And he went on really, really in depth, saying that's not what it's about at all. Anyone who's been to the Rocky Mountains, he said, understands what he meant. Anyone who's walked along in a sky that's so full of stars that it creates a shadow, a star shadow, knows what he's talking about. And he went deeper. He said anyone who's been camping with a friend and looked up to show that friend the Perseid meteor shower in a sky that seemed never-ending could understand what he's talking about. That's the Rocky Mountain High he was talking about. That's a feeling you can only get from out there in nature in Colorado. And it gets you high. It gets you high, John Denver said. For anyone who's not a fucking dork, there's better ways to get high. 3-Chi. 3-Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. So what it is it's a federally legal version of THC, and it's a more functional alternative to marijuana. They say, don't give up marijuana. It's fucking great. But THC, 3-Chi's Delta-8, gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel. It's available online at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And it retails around the country. You got to be 21 and older to purchase it. And why would you have to be 21 and older to purchase it? Because it gets you fucked up. You don't have to be 21 to go out and fucking dork-ass John Denver and go look up at the sky with your fucking buddy, you fucking dork. That's what you're going to speak to Congress about? Your fucking awesome camping trip, you fucking loser, John Denver. Use code SKEPTIC at checkout to receive 5% off your order from 3chi.com. Again, 3chi, that's the number 3chi.com, 3chi.com, and shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, and tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles if you're a fucking handyman. Anyone who doesn't have the balls to take 3chi and take Delta 8 products to get fucked up, then yeah, go out and get eaten by a bear, you fucking idiots. You fucking morons. 3chi.com, use promo code SKEPTIC at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Now back to the episode. Okay. Let's just talk about weed for a second. It's my episode 420. Yeah. You were on my first episode, by the way. I'm uploading all the old ones. I was like, oh, Steve was first. That's fucking crazy. I forgot about it.
Yeah, it was me, you, and Tracy, and I think Red Band was like sort of running or producing it at the time.
Yeah, that's when he was still producing and still like it's joining in too much.
Yeah, he was part of it. Like, I remember asking questions and stuff, and I'm like, I don't really even remember. Like, what do you know about relationships? I'm like, I don't think you've ever been in a relationship. So
at the time, no, he just that's got what it was. One. Yeah. So do you remember when you started smoking? Do you remember not smoking and then smoking?
I never smoked pot in college. Or not in high school. In high school maybe like once or twice, but not frequently at all. Then college was a different story because I was like I was a theater major, so everybody smoke pot. So at parties and stuff, but it wasn't an everyday thing. It was just sort of recreational. And then when I first moved out to LA, I didn't smoke at all at the Comedy Store like the first year or two. And
me neither.
I was just like, yeah. And then it was just like, oh, Jeff Scott was like, I was working there and I was like, I would do a little bit at night with Tommy, like to kind of like literally like a midnight toker. Like I would meet him in the green room and he'd be playing that stupid guitar. Like I would be done counting the money at the register and then, and also putting some in my pocket. So the nerd.
Yeah, you had to be sober for that. And then once that was
and
done.
And then Tommy would be playing Tommy would be playing the guitar in the main room, and you'd hear that and you knew he was smoking pot. So I'd go back there and smoke with him. And, that was it. And then, I think, honestly, for me, it was like drinking became a thing and not pills, but I kind of took some pills here and there. Like it was sort of, there were a lot of recreational things happening and I am like, I need to settle on one. And I think pot just sort of took over that chore of being like, wow, this is going to be your recreational drug. Yeah. Like, no more. Like, I'm one of the few people that, like, I've done coke probably 5-6 times in my life. Yeah. And I had a great time every time. Yeah, I had a great time every time, but I never chased it. Like, I never was like, I need to do that again tomorrow or, like, in an hour from now. So,
mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I'm just yeah, like, pop was just like, and then people are like, you want to do coke? I'm like, all right, but I didn't ask.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know, like, you were saying, like, Edinburgh's got, like, a big sort of vibe about coke and stuff. I didn't do it when I was there. I was, you know, but... Again, I'm like, not that I wouldn't do it. I'm like, if I'm going to do something that's going to be a part of my life, I think pot's probably the safest. So,
yeah, you're a heavy pot smoker yeah. now. I mean, yeah. like, when did that happen?
I don't know. I think probably around the league, I would say, when I got the league.
I was just doing this for my podcast. I did a gay podcast this week, and then I was like at the end. I was like, oh, that reminds me of another gay. And I recorded a few weeks ago, but it was. I was like, oh, Jeff died, you know. And then I was remembering. Yeah. Do you remember starting to smoke pot with someone who had HIV and having the moment of like, I don't think I should be doing this.
Oh, you know what? I think it was back. It was like it was backloaded for me. So I remember smoking with Jeff. Probably for about a year, and then finding out he had HIV, and then having that like that questioning where you're like you know, like someone's like, oh, you know, he's got HIV, and you're like, oh, really? Shit, I didn't know that. God, I hope he, you know, that sucks. That's, but in your mind, you're like, I'm already like, should I be have touched my lips to anything he's ever touched before?
Yeah, it's like, it's too late. Am I gonna die?
You know, like,
should I have a will?
Am I now? Yeah. And I was like, and he's blown me like 5 times too. So I'm like, that can't be safe either. I mean, he blows the pot smoke into my mouth. We shotgun every time while we French kiss. So dude, like, none of this can be safe.
He used to hit on you so hard.
He grabbed my cock. I did the memorial. Like, we had a little Zoom memorial, and I came in last minute. Like, I came in and I was like kind of listening for like 15 minutes, but there were a lot of people on there and people were sharing stories. And then it was like, oh, Steve, I was like, yeah, I'll share. And I told the story about how I almost hit him with the car. Like, as a joke, he was crossing the road and I was like, and he got like, you know, it was one of those moments where he was like not having it and he became like a total cunt queen. And he started yelling at me and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, but then like, you know, he didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, him and I were the only people out in sacred grounds and we were smoking pot together and I let him grab my cock and it was all forgiven. Everything was, that's all it took. It was a very simple.
It's like, that's all I wanted.
Yeah. And I didn't know his sister was on the Zoom thing too. And I'm like, you have to know that he grabbed many, many cocks. And thank God he was
like,
beloved.
Wait,
otherwise,
I can't be breaking the news to you that he's gay. Right? Please tell me I'm not breaking the news to you.
And then all the horrible things you hear about Me Too, your brother did some of those things to many male comedians. But honestly, he was amazing. So I would never. Who's going to narc out Jeff Scott for grabbing your cock? Give me a break.
And also, it's too late now.
Yeah.
Do you think you golf better when you're high?
Yes. I've talked myself into that. I can smoke a little bit. Like, I'll hit like a little bit because my back, I usually carry or I walk, so my back will start to bother me. It gets like tight. So I'll hit a little bit at like 9 the turn. But I've taken edibles before, and one time I was so high I played the wrong hole. You know, you like tee off and then like I was in the fairway. It was a par 5 and there were like 2 greens, but they were like sort of I thought they were like next to each other. And I went and played the wrong hole. Like, people were coming up and they were like, where are, I'm like, I'm in the middle of a shot. Can you please get out of my way? And they were like, you're on the wrong hole. And I was like, how do you know what hole I'm on? And they go, because we're playing this hole. We're moving up to the green that you are. Don't you understand you're working backwards from the green? Like, the hole goes this way and you're coming from the asshole entrance. And I was okay, fine. I'm like, people make mistakes. They should probably mark something like that. And they're like, nobody's ever made that mistake before. No one. You just aimed at the wrong.
They do mark it at the beginning of every hole. They mark it.
You know what it is? It was like, when you do stuff like that, you're like, all right, I've taken a little pot. I've honest, like, no professional golfer that takes it seriously smokes pot while they're doing this, I think. But so now I've got to really pay attention. I've got to really focus in. So once I became laser focused on that specific green, like, there was no thought of, like, I think I'm in the wrong spot. I was already like, no, I'm in the right. So, yeah.
You're on the wrong hole. How do you know which hole I'm?
Putting, though, I think I'm a better, like, I'm much more relaxed putting high than I am.
When we used to play poker, did you, down at, like, Commerce in Hollywood and stuff, did you play
No. That was before that, because that was before the league. Like, I don't think, we didn't smoke before we went, did we? I don't even think you really smoked that much then,
but
too.
I started smoking. When I was playing tournaments, at Hustler tournaments, and there was, like, 7-8 hour tournaments.
Yeah.
Every break, every hour and a half break, I'd run in my car, I'd get that Maui Wowie. I'd smoke heavily because you only have 10 minutes. And I'd go, breathe it, and then come back, and I could read people's minds.
Wow, really? I would have thought, like, remember the very beginning when we went to Commerce? Like, we were nervous just getting in, like, just sitting down and kind of getting the lay of the land. I couldn't imagine trying to navigate those waters high.
Oh, yeah.
I think
we
would have got arrested.
Cigarettes. And we got a cigarette.
Yes.
Like, can I get the seat back? And they're like, sir, you can leave your chips. Like, who's going to guard them? They're like, sir, no one's stealing your chips at a casino. Like, yeah, you say. You're in on it.
Yeah, dude. The beginning of those days where, we couldn't smoke pot and do that. Do you remember the time we smoked, though, on the way back from San Diego with Simone? And we were in the car. We had hotboxed the car so bad that poor Simone probably got high. He was driving. And he couldn't remember that 405-101 where they come together. He literally couldn't figure out how to get from one lane to the other.
That's right. We hotboxed him. He's never smoked too, and he didn't know how to deal with
ever,
it.
Ever.
You know what it is.
Dude, we did that to him twice, by the way. You know that, right? Do you remember when we were in Vail, when me, you, Justin, and him, we had rented the car and driving from Denver to Vail, and it started snowing crazily.
And the windshield wipers
And the windshield wipers didn't work. He was driving, right? It's the only time I've ever seen him get aggravated with us. Because we were high and we were like laughing and it's like, this is crazy. And he's like, this isn't funny, okay? We could die. We don't know where we're going. And I was like, don't be such a fucking pussy. Yeah. I'm like, such a pussy this guy is. Why don't you smoke some pot and calm down, you fucking loser?
It was dangerous too. When it's snowing on the pass, like there were
we were on a highway trying to keep up with highway traffic in like blizzard conditions.
It was
with no
hard.
Windshield wipers.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Oh, he was so pissed. And then afterwards, he goes, "It did feel kind of good."
Yeah, I know. We've done that to him a couple times. That's like truly like being high is fun, and like I've had stories. Like I told a story on This Is Not Happening. Do you remember that show that Roy Wood hosts? Do you
hear that show? He was great host of that show. Yeah.
This Is Not Happening.
This Is Not Happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I did it when they had the first host, the original host. I don't remember the original host.
Which
name,
one were you talking about getting high? It's not the me Bobby Lee Natasha Yu story. Which one?
No, it was the Kid Rock story. Where I was I was in Nashville.
Oh, you went outside
and I
went to smoke weed.
Yes, and I thought I was going to smoke with the fucking guy that owns the place, Santa, but he was smoking pot he wasn't smoking pot. He was smoking a cigar with Kid Rock out there, and I went out there, and I was so embarrassed, and I didn't know I was so high already. I'd smoked in the car on the way there, because the people that took me there, we got high on the way there. And I was already high. I was like, I'm going to go smoke with the Santa guy. And then I was out back with the Santa guy that owns the Santa's pub. And I did not know he was talking to Kid Rock. And I was so stoned and nobody wanted me around. And I didn't know how, you know, when you walk into a situation, you don't know how to leave it. You're like, I don't know how to, I'm like, I'm already too embarrassed. And, it was just like, I told the story. Yeah. And then someone, people thought I was fucking slow. And then some guy, I told him I introduced myself as Steve like 3 times embarrassingly. And then some guy yelled Kevin from, the thing. And I was like, oh, that's me. I got to go. And then I heard Kid Rock say, I think that guy's retarded.
That was the best line too. Cause you get every one of those stories gets to an unbelievable moment. That's what makes it a story. And you could tell you were like, you could see the audience looking at you and specifically you. And it's just that moment of like, guys, I get it's almost you didn't say it, but like this is that moment, and you're like, I get it. I know that I'm a known liar, but I am telling you the truth. It was like, put whatever you're thinking out of your mind. It happened.
This is implausible, but I'm telling you right now, Kid Rock is in the back of that fucking place. Rick Ingram was with me.
Oh, really? Well, that verifies it then. Sometimes you get so high, you see somebody at the store that's so high, and you don't realize they're high. You're like, what's wrong with them? And then it hits you like, oh. of course. That's they're just fucked up. They're not answering your questions.
I have a question. Have you ever had to leave the stage because you were too high?
Okay. No. I power through it. I've bombed before because I'm too high. I've lost my train of thought. First time Rogan made me get too high in Boston. I remember going, okay. I was wrapping up my set and I knew I had two bits left. I was like, bit A, bit B. I was like, okay, tell you what, I'll do bit B first and then I'll do bit A. Did bit B, then finished that. And I was like, that bit A, whatever that is gone. It's not in my head. And I'm quickly trying to find it. And I was like doing that extended laugh, like, you know, whatever you can to buy yourself a couple seconds. Wasn't coming to me. And then I was like, hey, guys, Joe Rogan will be here in a second. And everyone started going fucking nuts. And I'm like, well, that was the wrong thing to say. And then I never found it. I just had to get off.
Oh, my God.
And then another time at the old Houston Laugh Stop, the waitresses had electronic like pads to punch in the whatever their people were ordering. And one of them was in the back. And I just thought someone was giving me the light early. And I got off in like 6 minutes on a 25. I was like, I guess they want me off. Yeah, I got off and no one was around.
Damn. Dude, I remember getting the early days of edibles before then you knew like you know, there were milligram packages and stuff. You would get like a couple gummy bears. And I remember I had a long day at the league and then I had a spot at the factory and I hadn't eaten all day and I went like straight from one to the other. But on the way, I was like, I just want to fucking get a good night's sleep. So I took a gummy on the way to the factory on an empty stomach. And I guess I got bumped. Like maybe someone came in and I wasn't like the time. And it was like starting to hit me and I got called on stage and I'm on stage. There's not a lot of people there, but I just felt cold sweats over my whole body. And then like, you know, when you're going like, I'm probably going to pass out. And so I'm like trying to do the joke, but thinking I'm like, am I just high and I don't realize that like this isn't happening, or am I ignoring the physical signs that are allowing me to like I'm going to pass out? And so I started feeling like the cold sweats over my hands, and then I was like I started sweating my back, and I'm like, this is not normal for being on stage for the first 2.5 minutes of a set. And so I just go, hey, I'm not feeling great. Just said, I go, I'm out of here. Like in the middle of like a setup, I go, I'm just not feeling great. I'm sorry. And Adam Ray was next. He was like sitting in whatever that Jamie booth is over there at the factory. And he goes, I remember you said, I go, and everyone was like laughing on, no, I'm serious. I'm done. I go, who's next? And Adam Ray's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, can you come up here? And he's like, okay. And he came up on stage and he's like, oh, keep it going for Steve. And I went right to the bathroom. I threw up in the bathroom. But I'll tell you this, weed has saved me before from like, do you remember when we went to San Diego to the Chargers game and we drank all day like at the game and then we smoked pot before we left and we drove
and
we made Edgar go to the store.
At the end of the first quarter, we did Jello shots before with those people. And I was like, hey, we got extra Jello
shots.
We'll
buy your ticket.
Like, that's my favorite. Yeah. And we go, Edgar, we'll buy you a ticket if you quit drinking after the first quarter at the half so you can drive home. He was like, fucking deal.
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember he drove all the way back, and I remember being like, oh, the whole time I'm like, I have to throw up, but I didn't. I got all the way back to the store. I booted at the store, and I
right to the bathroom.
I said, I go, yeah, that was weed. Weed helped me settle my stomach. If you just had booze in you, we would have had to pull over 15 times while you yacked on the side of the road.
What a fucking warrior.
It settles me down.
You held it the entire 2.5 hours, traffic there, all the way back. And then as soon as we got to the car, you're like, excuse me? Bathroom, barf.
Yeah.
Well, that's the power of weed.
It was the weed. Yep.
Well, thanks, Stevie. You got
no
a
problem,
podcast
brother.
Right now called What's the Odds with Steve Renazzisi?
That's right. Yep. We come out usually every Wednesday or Thursday every week.
Yeah, it's a good fucking gambling and fun podcast.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate it.
No problem, brother. Happy 420.
Happy 420.
Congratulations.
Skeptics. Okay, I press record.
Okay, great. How high do you look? I wish I could see you.
I think I got a little bit in the eyes.
It's tough because also if you've just gone through a breakup, you look kind of high.
Yeah, that's true. I have a scar in my right eye, right? I've had it since fifth grade. Yeah. And I'm looking down at the phone. I'm looking down at the phone because I'm talking to you, and I realize I should be looking up at the screen.
You're looking down at your scar?
No, I'm looking down at the phone on the table because, and then meanwhile, I'm supposed to be looking at the screen. Okay.
Oh, right, right.
My sister hit me in the face with a Ken doll. We might have even spoken about this before. And it scarred me in the eye. And it's a red slash right in my eye. It's pretty sizable. And when I am tired or when the eye is bothering me, it gets even worse, bloodshot. So sometimes if I'm driving at night and stuff, I drinking it, like people would think I'm drinking if they pulled me over. My eyes would just look completely, wow, completely bloodshot. Cause I've been stone sober and pulled over before and the cops are like, you've been drinking? I'm like, no, they're like, why is your eye all bloodshot? And I'm like, my sister hit me with a Malibu Ken in 1986.
Sounds like a punk rock lyric. My eye bleeds. Well, your Ken doll made my eyes bleed. When did you start doing edibles?
On purpose or by accident?
Oh, shit. Really?
Well, the first...
How'd you do by accident?
...year that I even tried a few edibles, I didn't know what I was doing because they were all homemade. And no one ever knew what the milligrams were and like how to pace them and stuff. So I've had experiences where like in the beginning, either it didn't, nothing happened, or I was like, I thought I was going to be hospitalized.
There's no in between. It's so hard to get the exact dosage to be in between those two.
It's like I one time someone gave me a cookie and I felt nothing. And then I ate a second cookie and I ate a third cookie. And by the time I ate the third cookie, I was literally incapacitated to the point where even a medical professional would have thought that I was dead. I swear to God.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God. Just like couldn't even function. I was just laying, shaking, And then another time, and that was like, I think that was my first edible ever, actually. I was bartending on Thanksgiving Eve. Okay?
Yeah, family man.
So
yeah.
That's the biggest bar night of the year, right?
Wednesday night. Yeah. Yeah. That's reunion day.
Thanksgiving Eve. And so that's like the Super Bowl when you're bartending, right? And, I was like, I am not drinking tonight even because I want to just be on my game and I want to make all this money, right? And, we were packed, like standing room only, the place I worked at. And then my buddy I was working with, the other bartender, he was like, oh, I just got these chocolate chip cookie edibles. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm not drinking. Maybe I'll just do an edible. I never did one before. And he goes, good. And I go, what do I do? And he goes, just eat some. And so I ate a cookie and he goes, oh, you ate the whole cookie? And I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, I don't know if you should eat the whole cookie. And I was like, well, first of all, by the way, the cookie was delicious. Like I couldn't even taste the marijuana. It was like one of the best chocolate chip cookies I've ever had. But so I took the thing, right? And I didn't know how edibles worked. So we're bartending, half hour. I'm not feeling anything. He's like, oh, I'm feeling mine. I go, I'm not feeling anything. And he goes, well, he was a lot like a smaller of a guy, like thinner and stuff. So he's like, yeah, maybe have a little more then. So I was like, all right. So I had another full cookie, right?
After how long?
45 minutes to an hour.
That's the exact time when you should not take any more.
Correct.
That's the time where everybody says, maybe I need more. And it's like, just wait till an hour 10.
First time, but this is the first time I'm ever doing an edible, right? So it gets worse, man. So then I wait like another 20 minutes. I'm getting impatient because he's like, dude, I'm so high. And I didn't smoke at the time, weed at all. I didn't smoke. So, I mean, I had smoked. But two puffs passed because somebody had it. I never bought it. I never had an edible before, nothing. So, again, I didn't know how this worked. So, 20 minutes later, and he's like, wow, I'm feeling it. I'm like, what the hell? And I ate a third cookie full. So, even if this person only put in, like, 5 grams of cookie, which I'm assuming a cookie is more than 5 grams... that would mean that someone who's never done an edible in their life took a 15 milligram cookie. Milligram.
That's retarded.
Right. And I'm thinking they were at least 10 or 20 milligrams. So
there had to be. Plus, in those days, it was no milligram. It was just like some are stronger than others.
Yes. And so I just ate three full ones. And then at around 10, 11 o'clock, when the bar filled to capacity, they all hit me at the exact same time. Exact same time. Yeah,
they don't come on 30 minutes later either. As long as you get one, you're like, ah, shit, I got about 40 minutes and it's going to get really bad.
No.
It's just like, they just join up.
In one shot. And it was my first time ever feeling that. And I grabbed my friend and I was like, what did you do to me? What did you do?
It's almost like the second one pulled the first one backwards.
Yeah.
And yes. The third one pulled it back even further. Yeah.
Dude, it was just, I'm sure the first one would have put me on my ass completely. It's just that I didn't know to wait. So when they hit like I ate three cookies and I never did that before in my life. And I feel like, you know, you ever see like a very old person or even like a meth addict, how they're like hobbled over shaking, trying to walk.
Yeah. Did you go home? Did you work?
What?
Did you work?
Yeah. My shift was going until 4 a.m. This hit me at 11 p.m. and it was like everybody was there. And so it was Thanksgiving Eve too. And it was everyone who like, you know, when you go away to college or away to school or you moved away from home or anything like that, you always come home for the holidays. So this was the night, because it was a neighborhood bar, that everybody came home to see people you haven't seen in forever.
Yeah, I was talking about college and shit like that.
Yeah, but not just college. This was after college. This was in my 20s, but people still come home that like moved away. It was just, I saw a lot of people. You see people you haven't seen in the longest time that night.
Damn.
And I forget what year it was. It was a long time ago. But I literally like turned around, and then there was like the bar was like the people asking for drinks was like five deep. And I just looked at them. I looked at them like I imagined like remember, you know when people used to like chase like Frankenstein, like the mob with the torches and stuff? They used to like it just felt like they were like a full village of people coming to hunt me down. Like they may as well have had pitchforks and torches and stuff, and like
screaming at you to get
like lanterns, like they were like I was a witch almost, and that's how I felt. I felt like they were gonna like burn me at the stake or something. And actually, you know what? Now that I'm thinking of this, so you know my buddy Casey Jost.
Yeah, yeah.
So Casey and Colin Jost are from Staten Island, and this was our neighborhood bar. So Casey is there.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, Colin actually came in and he walked up to the bar. And I'm like, hey, buddy, how you been? How you been? Right. Good to see you. And I remember I grabbed a menu and I turned around and I said, here, because he wanted to eat. I gave him the menu, right? He was telling me what he wanted and I would just turn around to put it in the machine, like the touch system. And by the time he told me what he wanted and by the time I turned around to put it in the touch system, I would forget it.
Yeah.
And then I would like lean in and I go, what was that again? And I remember he told me and I turn around and I would just forget it. And then I just was so high. I just grabbed the menu and I ripped it in half. I just tore it. I tore the plastic off of it. Like, and I pulled a piece of paper out and I grabbed a marker and I said, just circle what you want on this menu. And he actually went down the menu and circled everything he wanted. And then I turned around and used that to put it in. I had to be taken out from the bar.
How long did you last?
It was only two nights in my entire bartending career of like a decade, over a decade. Two nights I couldn't finish. This was one
of them. When'd you quit? What time?
Well, not soon thereafter. Because someone was like, I remember, they asked me for a Jack and Coke. And I turned around to put it in. I forgot. And I turned back around. I said, what'd you say again? And they're like, Jack and Coke. And I turned around and I couldn't remember it. And then I was just like, and then I turned around and I was like, and then I remember I was like, I know this Jack. And I couldn't even remember the Coke.
But it's like, what else probably?
And then my cousin came in and he was like, luckily, like all the people that worked there also hung out there. So there was like people that could cover me that night. And I remember after that, they actually took me and they put me in a booth in the restaurant to lay down because I was like shaking. Like I looked like I was saying, like an old meth head.
Oh my God.
Like an old person or a meth head. And I just passed out. And then they woke me up at like 4 a.m. and drove me home.
It's just that second cookie. It's just the second cookie. There's no reason to take it. I had one in San Diego once where somebody was like, eat half and it doesn't hit you in like 45 minutes, take the other half. And it was like 40 minutes. And I was like, I'm going to take the other half. And my buddy was like, that's fine, but this is how those stories start. And I waited like 10 minutes. And I was glad I did because it kicked in.
I have another bad edible one. My Shay, this, my friend that I work with, she gives me this Fruity Pebbles treat, like Rice Krispie treat, but it's Fruity Pebbles like. And again, you don't know what the milligrams are, right?
Yeah.
So I split it. I just split it with my girlfriend, and I thought we would be fine. Like, we ate a little bit and we didn't feel it, and so we ate a little bit more, and we ended up just splitting it. It wasn't big. It was like the size of like half the size of a Twinkie even. So I didn't feel like it would be that strong. Yeah. And we got so high that I remember we watched the Lego Movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And to this day, I don't know if the Lego Movie was the most fascinating movie that was ever made in the ever.
Yeah.
Or I was just that high. Well, like when they spoiler alert, but when they show that it's actually like Will Ferrell playing the like
kids, yeah.
Our minds were blown. And then we watched the interview after that Seth Rogen one, and we were like, are these the two best movies that were ever made, or is it like they're coincidence?
Yeah.
But
dude, I had to, when I no, whenever I mean, downloaded I had stuff to, like movies and TV shows and stuff, and I watch them high, I'd have to put them in a separate folder that said "watch this again to be sure," because it'd be like episodes of Family Guy. Like, yeah, I think this might have been the best piece of television in history.
Yes, and you know what? If that's what the weed does, then I'm doing it all the time, because I often feel like I'm watching the best movie ever made when I'm high, and I'm like, what are the odds that I am getting this good of a streak of picking good movies? Or is the yeah. Right? It's the low. The common denominator is that I'm.
But
high.
Why would you not want to enjoy everything on the level of Gone with the Wind every time you see anything?
I know.
May as well. What a great life.
I know. Yeah. I know. I started doing edibles more, and like during this quarantine, at certain points, and everything I was watching was like a home run. And I was like, this is the greatest streak of my life. And then I just realized, oh, I'm just high every night.
The only problem with getting high watching is I can see through bad acting.
Yes. Oh my God, dude. Wait, I can't believe you said that. That is all I've been thinking about the last few weeks. Cause, well, no, you know what it is? I'm high, but here's the other thing. This is when you see the bad acting or the good. When you're high, right? Turn on closed captioning. Because it's almost like you're reading the script as they act it. It's actually made me become like what I think I could act a little better. Because I see when I see the line, and a lot of times with closed captioning, it comes before they say it, right? So when that's happening, I read the line, then I look up, and right before they say it, I get to think in my head like, how would I deliver the line? How should they deliver the line? Yeah, or how, or if I don't know, like, I wonder how they're gonna do it. And sometimes it's like, that was terrible. And sometimes it's like, oh, that was so much better than I expected. I get why they did that. And I'm actually kind of like watching this live in my head, like this, I'm reading the script, but I'm like judging every single line delivery. Yeah. And that's what I've been doing. And it shows you when the acting sucks. It really does.
Because they're just like saying the lines.
Maybe you could just do that for closed captioning, not being high, but I'm tuned into it when I'm high. I'm telling you that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you notice shows more like dumb, like Hawaii Five-0, like CBS shows, you know, where you're like, oh, you guys are just like whipping through this.
Yes.
You're not trying to win any
awards. Yes. Where it's like, these are definitely like day actors, right. You know, like, yeah. You know, like they're like good character actors that just need to know what to do on set to follow instructions, not even act well. You know, just come in,
you here.
Know your role.
I need you saying the line right by the window.
Yes.
It's that's camera set up.
Yes.
Get there. I don't care. Just get there.
Totally see that. And I like it. I actually like it because it's funny. It's fun to me.
I've been getting like that with stuff in other languages or on mute at a bar. On mute at a bar, you can like see it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When they're overacting and stuff. I've been the last few days, all I've been doing this, cause I go back to work this coming week, but like we had to be down. So I really, not really going anywhere or anything. So I've been home. I've been binge watching,
Practical Jokers,
old episodes, decades old episodes of Hell's Kitchen. Like I started in the beginning and now I'm on season 13 and there's 20 seasons.
With the angry fucking British guy.
Yeah. I love it. It's the same thing over and over and over.
I ate this swill. There's mold in this and you made me eat it.
Yeah. I've been doing that, but wait, what was I getting at? Wait.
This was on mute, watching on mute, something like that. Watching when you're high, you can see.
Shit.
I wonder if when you're high, can you see the setup of the fake like reality shows where you're like, oh, I can see how this was like faked.
Wait, what was my freaking point though?
Hell's
Kitchen. Because I did have one.
Get there.
Now, but what I've been doing. What were you saying right before that?
Watching stuff on mute at a bar. You can also see through like the acting sometimes. You can see overacting. Yeah. Day players. This is a fun podcast.
Day players.
Seeing bad acting.
God damn
seeing
it.
Bad acting, but seeing good acting, trying to get their lines, get ready.
Yes. Lines. Yes.
And then you brought up Hell's Kitchen though. With the closed caption.
Oh, I know. Yes. I've been doing that. Yeah. And that's the other thing I've been doing is I've been trying to think of fun Halloween costumes. Okay. I thought of one today. Okay. Ready? It's corny. The point is like combining two things. So like, you know, who's a famous Dan?
What?
Dan something. Give me a Dan.
Dan Soder?
Well, yeah, okay, a sure. Fake person. Sure, but it's like,
oh, that's who you think.
Steely Dan Soder. Oh, right. Like, I don't know. I but either puns or combining two people. So it's like
REO Speedwagon.
I can't think of anything. REO
No, that's two. That's but too not, long.
Wait, what's REO Speedwagon?
REO Speedwagon.
No. So I wish I made a list and I got to find the list. Because right now I'm actually high, so I cannot think of anything. But no, like this is not one. This is one, but this is I'm so high. This is not a double one, but this is so ready. Orange face, tuxedo, scotch, Yammy Davis Jr. You get
orange
it?
Orange face, tuxedo. Yammy Davis Jr.
Doesn't help that you cut out.
Yeah, orange.
Yeah, like orange skin. Orange skin, tux, scotch.
But why tux Yammy and scotch? Davis why Jr. would it just be tux?
You know, so just so you know who it is. Like, Yammy Davis Jr. Okay. You know? Oh, cigar. Maybe cigar. Sorry, cigar.
And that's what your costume would be.
You'd be you get what I'm saying?
I get it. Fun. I get it. Yeah.
Like, okay, so original Halloween costumes is what I mean.
Yeah, I get it. I like it.
So I usually trade back and forth with Casey, and we have a list of like 100, but I just can't think of any right now. But I thought of one for you. Okay, yep. Ready? You get a poncho.
Okay.
And a sombrero.
Sombrero, poncho, okay.
Poncho, right?
Yeah.
And you are Arriba.
Okay, not bad.
Isn't that good?
Not bad.
You get it?
Maybe. I'll try it.
No, but you get it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I get it. I'll try that one.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, that's
you don't roll good. Your R, so you like really you're Arriba, but you'll say you're Arriba.
Arriba.
Arriba. Yeah. Arriba.
That's not bad.
Yeah, Arriba. That's bespoke.
Right. If Sammy Davis Jr. just had yellow skin, if he yellow faced, then he could go as Yammy Davis Jr.
Orange.
Oh, right. Well, you get yams at a better place than I do. I guess.
We could also put a little sauce and pasta on you and call you Arrabbiata.
Arrabbiata?
Is it Arrabbiata?
Yeah, I thought it's Arrabbiata. It's Arrabbiata?
I think it's pronounced Arrabbiata. Yeah.
I think I'm right, but for me to correct you on this would be moronic. I think
you might be absolutely right. You might be absolutely right.
Dude, one time I brought a cookie into it. I got it from a fan, a big M&M weed cookie into the stand. And I asked one waitress if she wanted one. And she goes, no, I can't. I'm working. And I was like, okay. And then I asked Adele, and she said, I can't in front of these people. Let me go to the back where we used to go smoke pot in the old stand. And so she had some. And then the first waitress was like, hey, I can have some. Let's go outside, though, where the cameras aren't watching. And then I got her. Everybody was on it by the end. The entire place was on it, and they were all incapacitated, and no one wanted to tell anybody they were on it because they were all hiding it from each other.
But one got everyone.
It was
high.
One of those novelty ones. It was one of those Mrs. Fields ones. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Everybody.
This novelty.
The entire place. Grace, all of them. Every one of them.
You mean Like you know, like the big, like the huge lollipops.
Uh huh.
You're saying it was a novelty weed cookie.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, exactly. It was a novelty weed cookie. Exactly.
Novelty. No, but novelty is the funniest way to describe it.
So it's also a deserved weed cookie.
It's like it causes like the incapacitation of 20 yeah, adults. It's like every drug.
But I have like a propeller hat on, so it's okay.
Like, there's a good chance if the cookie was that strong and everyone was high off it, it could have been like someone's demise. And like to describe the cookie's potency as novelty is hysterical.
Yeah, it's like one person was like, "Nah, I got high and I'll eat a cookie, big cookie for sure."
Usually, it's like novelty is like not that. It's like, oh, it's novelty gum.
It's shaped we're like weed, but it's not really.
Yeah,
weed.
Like, but novelty is like set the bar lower.
Yeah.
So you call that a novelty cookie is so funny to me. It's like,
well, maybe
here,
it was a
now
mega.
Be careful with this. It's novelty.
Yeah.
The first time I ever smoked, I didn't even tell you that one.
When was it?
It was freshman year of college, and the first time I ever smoked was this in the same night. We were in the park, and my friends had a blunt, and I smoked that. But like, yeah, it was the first time I ever smoked, so it didn't hit me immediately for some reason. And then we drove to my friend's house, and they were potheads, and I was like, I didn't even feel anything. And he's like, all right, we'll do this. You'll feel this. And I smoked out of a 6-foot bong. The first time I ever smoked.
Your first time smoking?
First night
dude,
ever.
That's like getting jumped into a gang.
A joint. Dude, so I don't know why, like I what, like, but right after I started to get high, and then when we got to the 6-foot bong, I did it, and I'm like, let me go now because I didn't really know how it worked. I'm like, I don't know how long it's going to take me to get really high, and I don't want to drive high, so let me just go. So it's like I started to feel very high. I just didn't know it.
Yeah.
And then I hit that 6-foot bong, and I got in my car, and immediately I was like a block or two from where I was. I got to a red light, and I remember being like 100% of my body is numb, right? Like 100% of my body, right? And I had my hands at 10 and 2, and I was like, I was 18 maybe, and I was like telling my brain to move my knuckles or my hands, and my hands weren't moving. And then I was like, you know, you got to step on the gas in a moment. And you're going to take your foot off the brake. So I was at a red light. And I was like, I was frozen, dude.
Oh,
and then I looked in the rear view mirror and right behind me was a cop car. And I had driven a block and I'm like, no way. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I wasn't prepared. I didn't realize I would be that high because I didn't understand how it worked, and I thought I'd be okay to just get home. And it was very apparent immediately I couldn't. And then I was like, I remember the light felt like it was red for like 4 hours.
I forgot about that. The time changing, time just warps.
Dude, I swear to God, I felt like I was at the light for like 4 or 5 minutes. It was probably a minute. I don't know, but like, and then I looked at my hands and it's not like I hallucinate on weed ever in my life, but I just smoked so much ever for the first time. I had sensory overload and my hands looked like they were like 5 times the size. And I was like, if my brain doesn't tell my foot to go to gas, the cops are going to pull me over. I'm going to go to jail. And I remember I had to get my hand. I pry it off the wheel. Put it under my leg, lift my leg up with my arm, and put my dead leg on the gas. And I pushed down with my hand, and I put on the blinker, and I just made a left turn and parked immediately on the right side of the road.
Good.
So I drove like less than 50 feet, and I parked, and the cops went straight.
Wow.
And I shut the car off. I put it in park and I said, I got to stay here until I feel my normal self again. Right. Yeah. And it was at the bottom of the hill that my college was on. And to the right of me was all woods. Right. And I sat there for like, again, it felt like maybe like 4 hours. I think I was there for about, I was probably there for about two hours. I sat alone with the car off in park in that spot for about 2 hours. And it felt like 4 or 5. And then I wasn't even like sober. I was still high, but I started to get nervous that there was a murderer in the woods that was going to come out and just smash his arm through the glass of the car and just like choke me out or something.
Were you just accepting of it?
I started to like get nervous. Then I was like, we played the whole game where I was like talking to myself, like, what are you even nervous about? Like, there's no one going to come get you.
And then
I was like, then I thought I heard something. And then I was like, felt like I couldn't come. I felt like I couldn't have 24/7 surveillance of a 360 degree angle. I remember like thinking very hard, like no matter where I look, I'm compromising another angle. Right? So, you know, remember in Stand By Me when they all had to take watch and they went back to back to back with the gun? Do you remember that? In the woods?
No, I don't. Uh-uh.
Oh, man. There's this,
I don't remember
there's
that.
There's a scene in Stand By Me where they're going to stay overnight in the woods and they're scared out of their minds. And so they take shifts. But like Jerry O'Connell, the heavier set kid at the time, he was like so fucking nervous and they all went back to back. Anyway, I started to feel like no matter how much I would look every way, I wouldn't be able to avoid a sneak
complete
murderous attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least you're over.
This was before.
God damn.
It was before I had a cell phone. This was before cell phone. So I drove, I started the car again.
Why?
And I just, because I couldn't stay there. I was positive I was going to get murdered.
It's worth not being murdered over. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. By the way, I've never driven high again in my life.
Just through the radio or no?
No, because my car only had AM. So I didn't have a radio. No joke. I used to have a boombox in the front seat with a CD player and just play CDs on a boombox in the car.
So there you go.
I delivered pizza that way. So I drove to my girlfriend's house at the time, who lived about 5 minutes from where I was. So I mustered the energy to go there, like the courage to go there. And I got there, and at this point, again, first night high ever. At this point, the neurotic part of it had given way to giggles and complete hunger. And I remember I knocked on her door. She lived, of course, at home with her parents. And she came and opened the door, and it was probably like 1 in the morning or whatever it was. And her brother opened the door, and he was like a year older than me. And he's like, "Oh, I'll go get her. And then she came to the door, and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, "Nothing. I just got off work," because I used to deliver pizza. And she goes, "Oh, okay." And she goes, "Your eyes are so bloodshot." And I don't know why, because it was the first time I ever did this. So I was like nervous I guess I was still too high. So I was nervous to admit to her that I smoked weed. My own girlfriend, for some reason, because we never did it before. So then I was
you're
just like,
high,
"Oh,
so
I work
paranoid about everything."
I'm still like paranoid enough to not want to tell her. Not paranoid that I was going to get murdered. And then I told her, "Oh, I just worked all day and I had school. And I'm so tired." And she's like, "Oh, okay." And then I came in the house because we were very close. Our families are very close. So I was there. I would like, you know, sleep over there. You know, like in our couch or whatever like that. You know, yeah. So. I went inside and I remember just being like, "I'm so hungry." And I remember I ate 2 bagels and like 5 bowls of cereal. And I just was like, "I didn't eat all day." And I was laughing my ass off.
"I'm just so hungry. Come on, please help me."
And she never knew. She never like suspected it. She just thought I was tired and in a great mood and hungry. Yeah.
That is also like the Everything's Gone with the Wind is the food version of that is the same shit. Where you're like, "This is the best burger I've ever had."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's too bad that goes away.
And again, I know it goes away. It sucks. Yeah, you could get away with it though. Like if you could get it back though, because during quarantine I was like I'll smoke a little more or whatever, and then I was like I'm smoking too much, so I stopped for 3 months.
So you get your fucking fun back.
Yeah, I was just like I'm just gonna stop for a while, and then I'll just like you know, because I got into it was like too easy because I didn't leave the house. That was when like no one was even leaving the house.
Oh yeah.
And I was like really, I was like actually really nervous too, and I had a lot of anxiety and stuff. So it was very actually helpful. And then I quit for like 3 months, and then I did it again, and I was like back to very close to zero again, like square one. Like I remember, I didn't realize that I was gonna have lost that much tolerance.
That's
which,
the best.
By the way, I never even knew there was a weed tolerance. And my whole life, my friends had smoked every day. I was like, how do they do this? Because if I smoked even a little bit, I wouldn't be able to function. And I just didn't understand. I just thought I wasn't cut out for it. Right. And it wasn't until this quarantine that I realized that my tolerance was building. And I was like, it was like a light bulb went off. I'm like, oh, that's
And you don't
how
see it happening,
it.
Too. It's just like you just need a little more, a little more. Then all of a sudden you're doing fucking lighting up torches and doing dabs in the middle of the fucking park.
Yeah, and that's how inexperienced I was as of 3 years ago. I had no idea about tolerance.
Wow.
So it was actually a full surprise to me, full shock. And then by like the time I stopped, dude, I could do like a 50 milligram edible and smoke like 3 joints in a night. It was too much.
By the way, that's how me and Metzger are convinced that Philip Seymour Hoffman died. It's because he took time off heroin, same thing as taking off time off weed, and then he went back to his old dosage. He went right back to his old dosage, and his heart was like, I don't know how to do this anymore.
Well, I remember when I went to smoke again for the first time after 3 months, I misjudged how low my tolerance might have gotten. And so I just opened by smoking a full joint.
Yeah.
And it was reminiscent of the edibles. It was like I laid on the couch for like 3 hours without moving.
Damn.
Yeah, from one joint.
I miss getting that high. I really do.
I know.
It's so fun sometimes.
Do you think you could... Does that happen with you after Sober October?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that what
happens? Yeah, I would get high after that for sure.
Well, no.
Yeah, yeah. At least for a little bit. For a month, yeah.
That's got to be your best high
so
of the
fucking
year,
ripped. But I remember the first one of the maybe both times in Sober October, I just got so drunk and high. And one time I took acid too, like just everything in one night. Anyway, great talking to you. I just wanted to get you on the record as whether or not you're a pothead. So
I don't even know what we covered, to tell you the truth.
But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, hot dog bun. My sister's a nun.
That's the episode, everybody. What'd you think? I fucking loved it. Make sure. Oh, here's if you're a real stoner, you use one of these tie packs. After you put it out, like you close the lid, and the smoke goes, and then takes away all the oxygen, so it puts out the joint. Real stoners, as soon as the joint's out, you get your last hit of smoke. What was your favorite part, guys? In the comment section of today's YouTube page, youtube.com/RHFair, please leave us a comment. Did it work? Let's try again. Fuck no. God damn it, it's raining. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the episode. Ah, shit. I hope you had a good time. I did too. Thank you very much, Dan Soder, Tony Hinchcliffe, Adrian Appalucci, Sal Volcano, Duncan Trussell, Steve Renazzisi, Mark Norman, and yes, even Kurt Metzger for taking time out of his day, regardless if he got fucked up. I'm fucking with him. That guy's super interesting. If you ever do see him and you smoke him up and get high, ask him the story. Ask him to say, hey, tell me how Gavin McInnes is somehow related in pop culture to Lena Dunham. Ari said you told him something really interesting, and he'd fucking like to know. Oh, shit. All right. I think that's it. Oh, so as I said, leave that in your comments, your best fucking weed stories, the first time you remember getting high, the friends you smoked with, just fun stuff. Weirdest places to smoke weed. And on 420, on April 20th, in honor of those proud black members of the Baptist Church in Tulsa who somehow outsmarted the evil KKK that day and ended racism forever. Oh, shit. What was I even talking about? What was I even fucking talking about? Oh, yeah. So leave in your comments the stuff. And my Patreon, patreon.com/AriShaffir. Please sign up. I could use it. I'm going broke very rapidly. I'll talk about them. I'll whip them out, which is a bunch of them. Maybe even multiple episodes. At least some good ones. So I'll fuck with them and read them and talk about them. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Please hit subscribe on YouTube. Let's go. We're done. And your RSS feed. We're done. Go smoke weed. Go celebrate. By the way, Shroomfest is coming. I forgot when it is. Okay, Shroomfest this year is August 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I quickly looked it up with a seamless fucking edit. Shroomfest 2022 is June 11th through the 13th. So, you know, if you had someone die of COVID like right before Shroomfest this year, like right before, then maybe skip it and go next year. But that's the dates. I'll just give you the next 5 years right now. Write it down right now. 2021, August 21st, 22nd, 23rd. All over the world. How do you celebrate Shroomfest? You just eat mushrooms. 2022, June 11th through the 13th. 2023, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Shroomfest 2024 is July 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And the last one, not the last one, but Shroomfest 25th, 2025 is August 9th through 11th. So fucking find some shrooms now and get ready for it. Celebrate however you want. Guys, it's not right for this episode. None of this is right for this episode. It's for weed. Weed is mushroom's best friend. Dude, if you're doing mushrooms and you don't have a joint or maybe five with you, because you want to be able to smoke some, and then, I lost it. Who cares? I'm telling you, dude, those tight packs. Weed is mushroom's best friend. And a really quite a good friend from college is Molly also. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 420. A pot of weed. Goodbye. Roll me up and smoke me when I die. If anyone don't like it, look out in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die. Now you won't see no sad and cool eyes. I get my wings and it's my time to fly. Call my friends and tell them there's a party, come on by, and just roll me up and smoke me when I die. Roll me up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, look out in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die. About an hour. Then take me out and twist me up and point me toward the sky. And just roll me up and smoke me when I die. Roll me up and smoke me when I die. If anyone don't like it, look out in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
It's too dark to put the keys in my ignition. And the morning sun is yet to climb my hood ornament. But before too long,
I feel